93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Thursday, May 17th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, two cousins accused of killing together could find themselves pitted against one another in court after one took a plea deal Wednesday and the other shocked everyone in the courtroom and rejected the plea deal in one of the gruesome deaths of four young men found buried last summer on a suburban Philadelphia farm. Prosecutors vowed to seek the death penalty against Sean Kratz after the 21-year-old stunned prosecutors, victims' families, and even his own lawyer in turning down an offer that would have put him in prison for at least 59 years. Unexpected outcome, said Kratz's lawyer, Craig Penglaze. And by the way, Craig listens to our show.
Oh, cool. Hey, you know, what do you think? Why do you think this kid turned and did this? And I mean, you know, they have so much overwhelming evidence against these two. And this one all of a sudden says,
I think the deranged mind that led them to commit the crimes to begin with is probably the culprit here.
Yeah. It's the same mind that said, I'm going to turn this
right
down.
I can do this.
When I first heard, I thought, okay, maybe it was Cosmo DiNardo that did all of it, right, or the majority of it. And this kid, you know, wants to say, no, I was innocent. But he shocked his own lawyer in the courtroom. So, not sure that that's the case.
He literally went...
Cosmo DiNardo, the cousin who earlier in the day pleaded guilty to four counts of murder in exchange for a life sentence, could be forced to testify at Kratz's trial. District Attorney Matthew Weintraub said no trial date has been set. Prosecutors will seek the death penalty. DiNardo's guilty plea, which will put him behind bars for life, gave solace to a grieving father who turned to the stone-faced killer in a packed courtroom and said, your only way out of prison is wearing a toe tag. That's the least we all deserve, said Mark, the father of 22-year-old victim Mark Sturgis. The mother of 21-year-old victim Tom Mayo cursed at DiNardo, saying it has taken everything for her not to kill herself. DiNardo pleaded guilty to charges, including first-degree murder, conspiracy, robbery, and abuse of a corpse. His lawyer said he did so to avoid the death penalty.
Do you remember as this story was unfolding? It was like, oh my God, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse.
Yep. Jimmy Taro Patrick's grandparents, who have raised the slain 19-year-old since birth, asked DiNardo to pray for them and his mother, who has severe mental illness. Someday, perhaps, they'll be able to forgive him, Sharon Patrick said. My heart is broken, and I will never, ever be the same. The families of the slain men are suing DiNardo's parents, saying they knew he had mental health issues and violent tendencies, but didn't prevent him from accessing a gun. DiNardo's parents own a farm property in Solbury and a construction and concrete company in Bensalem, where they live. In his confession, DiNardo acknowledged selling handguns to local residents 5 months before the killings. Police charged him with having a shotgun. In Illinois, school resource officer stopped an armed teenager at a high school Wednesday morning, according to the local police chief, who applauded the officer for saving countless lives. When the 19-year-old suspect fired several shots near a gym at Dixon High School, the school resource officer reported the incident to authorities and then confronted the gunman. When confronted, the suspect, a former student at Dixon High School, started running away, and the officer pursued him. The student shot several rounds at the officer, and the officer then returned fire, hitting the gunman, the police chief said at a news conference. The suspect, identified as Matthew A. Milby, was taken into custody with what are believed to be non-life-threatening injuries. He faces three counts of aggravated discharge of a firearm. Milby is currently under surveillance at a hospital and will be taken to jail when he's discharged. No students or staff were injured, but the high school and all other schools in the district were placed in lockdown. Teachers alerted the students and activated their active shooter response plan. Some students said that they cleared tables and they moved them behind the classroom door to block the entrance, and then they quickly grabbed boxes and stack them against the windows to block them from view from the outside. Dixon police believe the suspect acted alone and that there is no further threat to the safety of the students or staff. The officer, whose name has not yet been released by police, is said to be on paid administrative leave per policy, police said. Police said a six-year-old girl found a bag of cocaine in another student's backpack inside a kindergarten class at Mastery Charter Hardy Williams Elementary School in Southwest Philadelphia. Officials said the little girl thought it was sugar. She actually put the bag in her mouth and started chewing on it.
Oh my God.
Said Philadelphia Police Lieutenant John Walker. Fortunately, she didn't break the seal. A teacher did see her and stop her. So the teacher saw the child with the bag. Suspecting it was drugs, she took it from the student. That's when the teacher called police and DHS. In a statement, the school said both children were taken to the nurse's office, where it was determined that there was no evidence either of the students had ingested the substance.
Oof. Yeah, could you imagine?
Police said a nurse cleared the children and the school resource officer sent them home. But on Wednesday afternoon, when investigators with Southwest Detectives got the case, their concern grew, knowing how street drugs are packaged and wondering if there were any more in the school. The school said that backpacks of all students were checked and parents were notified. Police do not believe the drugs came from the home of the six-year-old student. There are approximately 25 children in the kindergarten class. Police said if anyone experiences symptoms, they need to go to CHOP immediately.
I remember more innocent time when kids used to just eat Tide Pods.
Yeah.
Now look
at this. The world's going to hell in a handbasket.
All right, let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Nick Pivetta tied a career high with 11 strikeouts. Cesar Hernandez hit a home run, and the Phillies beat the Orioles 4-1 yesterday afternoon in Baltimore. Right. The Phillies climbed 8 games over 500 for the first time since the end of the 2011 season. Pivetta won his second straight start, allowing one run, two hits, and one walk in 7 innings. Odubel Herrera singled in the first inning and extended his on-base streak to 42 games for the Phillies, who have won 6 of their last 7. The road trip continues tonight as they open up a 4-game weekend series in St. Louis against the Cardinals. Vince Velasquez gets the start, and game time is at 7:15. Last night in the NHL playoffs, Jonathan Marchessault scored 2 goals, including one just 35 seconds into the game to lead Vegas to a 4-2 win, helping the Golden Knights to a 2-1 series lead. The expansion team is now only 2 wins from advancing to the Stanley Cup final, improving to 5-1 at home in the playoffs. The series continues tomorrow night, and game 4 is in Las Vegas. In the NBA playoffs, the Rockets beat the Golden State Warriors in game 2 last night in Houston to tie the series at 1 game apiece. James Harden and Eric Gordon each scored 27 points on a night Houston had 5 players score 16 points or more, and the Rockets used balanced scoring to win 127-105. There are no games scheduled for tonight or tomorrow night for the Eastern or Western Conference finals, but the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, they are.
And that's what happened for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Here we are, Thursday morning, Preston and Steve Show, and a whole hell of a lot to do and a bunch of people on our program today. So I will go through that roster of things, and then we will announce our coolest teacher.
Yes.
And then we will draw another school and tell you how you need to vote. So we have, okay, we can do that first.
Let's do it now.
Sure, okay. I said I was going to run down the list of events. All right, coolest teacher. There we go. All right, so yesterday. Thank you.
I just rewind.
The coolest teacher was Mr. Steve Weber from Baptist Regional High School. And then we chose out of the beef jerky jar. Collingswood High School. Steve drew this one. And we have the student body vote, and they came through, and our winner, the coolest teacher of the year at Collingswood High School, is Mrs. Danielle Armano. And we don't know much about Mrs. Armano, but we do know she is the TV production teacher.
Ooh.
Which is a pretty damn cool class.
It sure is.
They have high schools now have facilities. We had like the AV club,
one
Steve.
Microphone.
Yeah, these guys have full setups. Yeah, and so the teachers are really, you know, really good at what they do, and they have great great resources.
They need to be, right?
Yeah.
It's the world we're living in.
That was the coolest teacher at our school, too.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right, so Mrs. Danielle Armano. Marissa looked at some details, very little. We do know 2 things. And they're 2 good things.
All right.
She's a rocker.
A rocker.
And she loves superhero movies.
Oh.
So she's all right in our book.
So we don't know much, but we know we love her.
Absolutely. Yes. With that. So congratulations, Mrs. Danielle Armano. And we are going to give her all the goodies that come along with Coolest Teacher. And that is President Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug, $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card. Of course, this whole event is brought to you by Rita's Water Ice. And we'll give her free turkey bacon and $50 cash from Gottschall's Turkey Bacon as well. And don't forget that Rita's Water Ice gift cards make a great teacher's gift. So maybe we'll hear from Mrs. Armano a little bit later on. Now, Mrs. Romano is going to get to draw our next school. So Casey's going to walk around the beef jerky jar.
Her delicate hand should slide right into the beef jerky jar.
We used to have a jar full of beef jerky, and now it keeps the names of local high schools that we can draw to give the coolest teacher prize to. All right, Kathy, who's going to be this time around?
In Medford, New Jersey, Lenape High School.
Lenape High School!
Lenape. All right, Lenape High School. It's up to you guys. And wow, that's three Jersey schools in a row.
Yeah, and that's actually it's two employee alumni schools.
Who's Lenape?
Jackie Bam Bam with the Lenape.
No way.
Yeah. All right. So keep in mind, Lenape High School. Here's what you need to do. And please, if you're going to let everybody know how to go about voting, make sure they do it this way. This way, their vote counts. It does not get lost. It has to be in this particular format. You text the word teacher and then the teacher's name to 39333. So you write the word teacher, a space, and then the teacher's name to 39333. Tell them at the front office if they're going to make an announcement or post it on social media or whatever it is. That is the format of doing it. Teacher, followed by the teacher's name, 239333. We'll give it to you about 5 a.m., 5, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yep, absolutely.
And then we will announce who the winner is from Lenape High School. So good luck to you guys, and thanks to all those teachers for doing what you do. I know the light's at the end of the tunnel for the students and the teachers alike.
So how many weeks now? We're maybe 4 or 5?
It's usually mid-June-ish.
Right, okay. You know,
so we're about a month out, I think.
And have you received an official word on an extension of the days because of snow days, or are they...
Yeah, that's all,
okay, all,
that's
all
well known at all this point. So, all right, so now to the list, the aforementioned list.
And it is a good list.
Yeah, we have a lot going on today. We will have on our program this morning, Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Jay Leno is going to give us a call.
Great to know you guys.
He is performing at the Academy of Music on Saturday. So he's going to get in touch with us. And I don't think in all the years, in the 20 years we've been together, we've ever spoken to Jay Leno.
So recently, I have become a huge fan of Jay Leno's Garage. Do you watch that show at all, Preston?
I've seen bits of it.
Yeah, it's really good. Obviously, you know, he has 181 cars and 80 motorcycles.
Wow.
So, it's a great show.
Yeah, he's actually, I mean, we were this close to getting him in studio because he's in town. He's actually hawking stuff at a QVC today.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of wild.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have him, and we will have, he's an actor, but he's also a writer and director, Lee Whannell. And he is responsible for a few of the Insidious movies. He will be here in our studio to talk about Upgrade. And we have that screening tonight, right?
We do.
He's going to do, I think, a Q&A. And he has written and directed this movie. It looks really good.
Right. He wrote the Insidious movies. He wrote Saw. He's an actor. And this is his second directorial effort, and it's getting really great reviews.
We're also going to have an old friend who's been here many times, porn star Katie Morgan, will be stopping by.
She's great.
She's at Club Risqué tonight. And Friday, that's the Northeast location, Friday in Philly and Saturday in Bristol. And we will have on the program around 10 a.m., David Blaine.
Yeah.
David freaking Blaine.
You and I were watching some YouTube videos this morning, and, you know, the guy's amazing.
He is.
Yeah.
And I know we play off of his delivery, his personality.
Pick a card.
I know.
Any card.
Yeah. But he's insanely talented, and he is playing a show at the Tower Theater coming up in July, and we'll talk about that as well. So David Blaine on the show. And we're going to have a hottie cam this morning, Miss New Jersey Motorsports.
Say what?
Just stopping by here from Bridgeport Speedway. So we'll have some giveaways. And speaking of that, tonight, we'll get together. We are going to be at Parks Casino. I want to give away the rest of our tickets that we have for it. If you can join us, we're hanging out for an hour, but we're going to give you tickets. And it's ladies only, by the way. It's
yes.
A sorority party. The Sisters of Pies, 8 to 8 of Pie. Dennis Miller is performing at the Excite Center. And we're getting together before that at 360 Lounge. All of us, by the way. The whole show is going to be there. 6:30 to 7:30, having some cocktails, a little happy hour buffet, and then you guys go to the show. So if you can make it, 4 callers, that's all I got left. Those are the tickets.
That's it.
215-263-WMMR, and it is brought to you by Bud Light. They take care of Philly, and you have to be at least 21 years of age or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll take a break. I have a ton of entertainment stuff. I don't know how we're going to get to all of it.
It's a lot.
But we'll try, along with a stupid question, some giveaway stuff. With us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds, to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Steven Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to give away for the stupid question this morning a pair of tickets to see Puddle of Mud, Saving Abel, and Sponge at the Block at Harris, Philadelphia, Saturday, July 7th. Here's a question that I have for you. How many players are on a cricket team? 215-263-WMMR.
I just think about Casey when I think about cricket, because we read the newspaper. We tried to read the newspaper one time when we were leaving Jamaica.
Yeah.
And the cricket scores made no sense to us whatsoever. Uh-huh. I don't know if you remember that or not. But
not even a little bit.
I've tried a number of times to, because I know that a lot of people. And it's sort of a hipster thing now to sort of be into cricket.
Oh, is it? Oh,
really? It is a little bit. And so I was trying to get an understanding of the game, because it's been around forever. It looks kind of compelling. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, it's hard to understand.
It's named after a bug.
All right, so let's see what you got. 215-263-WMMR. How many players on a cricket team's birthdays today on May 17th include Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails man, Oscar-winning composer, by the way.
Yes, what, for The Social Network?
That's the one.
Yeah.
And he continues to do other films. He's kind of starting to slide into that, which is a wonderful position to be in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Our buddy Michael Giacchino obviously does that, but some others like Trevor Rabin from Yes, he does that now.
He does, yeah.
And Randy Newman does a lot of film scores, and you can make a nice living if you are good at that. So,
and Marilyn Manson has basically recently said he would not exist without
Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
He's 53 today. Josh Homme, the lead singer and guitarist of Queens of the Stone Age.
If you need the lens cap removed on your camera,
he'll kick it
off.
He's
the guy to talk to.
Yeah, that was a video came out last year of him walking up to this woman taking pictures, and he just kicked the camera right out of her face.
Yeah.
And essentially kicked her in the face because of it. He was very apologetic, but I don't know, man.
I did, though I liked him in that documentary. I always heard he was kind of irascible.
Yeah, the Eagles of Death Metal.
Yeah, it was good.
He's 45 today. Dave Abruzzese, who is the former drummer of Pearl Jam, one of the many former drummers of Pearl Jam.
Right? He was the one that liked to have fun.
What's that?
He was the one that liked to have fun.
Oh, the one that I think, Nick, as you recount, he was getting too rock starish for the rest of the band.
He bought a car,
Steve. That's ridiculous expense.
Went out and enjoyed his money and bought
Mass
a Ford
Transit's
car.
Mass Transit's not good enough for you?
Yeah, and so the band basically made him take it back.
They made him take the car back?
Yeah, they
That's
shamed
kinda
him.
That's kind of douchey, but
so totally douchey. I imagine, Preston, it's like the scene in Goodfellas where he kind of...
comes in with the fur coat on the wife.
You dumb idiot.
Yeah.
We're trying to lay low.
And he's the head of the mob.
Yeah. What are you wearing? It's a leather coat?
Yeah.
You got to take it back.
That's too bad. He's a solid drummer, man. I enjoyed watching and hearing him play. He's 50 years old today, Dave Abruzzese. Craig Ferguson has his birthday. I love Craig Ferguson.
Craig Ferguson, by the way, I think is one of the big unsung heroes of late night television.
Agreed.
His show was so effortlessly wonderful, but, you know, you got to have an innate talent to pull off what he was pulling off.
Well, so, and it's funny you should say that, Steve, because he moved here, and he was here for like a week before he got his, like, first real gig.
It was the Drew Carey sitcom?
Yeah, that might have been it, but it's just one of those things where, like, okay, well, this dude has it, you know? Yeah.
There's a guy, by the way, that, like, twice flirted with and was attempting to commit suicide.
Yeah, well, he was an alcoholic. He'd said that he did drugs too.
Yeah.
But if he had to leave his bar stool to get it, then it was too much work for him. So that's why he identifies mostly as an alcoholic.
But what great banter he has with
him. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's 56 today. Bob Saget.
Oh!
Bob Saget, our buddy, is celebrating his 62nd birthday today and really cut his comedic teeth here in Philadelphia, and he claims that MMR was a big part of it. He won a contest through us.
That's right.
And he still remembers it to this day.
And one of our favorite guests is when he comes in the studio. He's been out to the camp out for hunger.
Yep.
Just a good dude.
So easy to talk to.
And filthy.
He's 62 today. The great Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yes.
Celebrates his 62nd birthday today.
Well, he was the one, if you recall, I always thought Marvelous Marvin Hagler could beat up the world.
Yeah, and then
he fought Sugar Ray Leonard, and I was like, oh, well, maybe he can't beat up the world.
He's not invincible.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's very vincible.
He's vincible.
I always love watching Sugar Ray fight. He's 62 today. And the last birthday goes along with our appearance at Keenan's Irish Pub. A veteran appearing at that event It's Jordan Knight's birthday today.
Oh, wow.
Jordan Knight of New Kids on the Block is turning 49 today.
The look on his face.
Yeah, he and
when he
and,
came out of Keenan's.
He and Danny, I think, were the ones that came out to the show. And they were like, what is going on this early in the morning?
We'll never forget it. And the place was... You have to go to it to realize how loud it can get.
Oh, my God.
I think they were expecting some sort of, like, a studio-type interview.
Mm-hmm. And then what did the guys say? This is for the late and great Ronnie James Dio?
Yeah, Ronnie James Dio had died not long before that.
Yesterday was his birthday or his death day. Go ahead.
Anyway, so we were having people come up and lip sync. Any new Kids on the Block song they wanted to do. And the guy got up and he did Cover Girl or Step by Step or I don't know what. And he did a version of it and he goes, that was for the late, great Ronnie James Dio. And we died laughing. It was excellent.
One last birthday I want to mention because, Nick, you pulled up that list over there.
Yeah.
And I glanced over and I just keyed in on Paige McConnell. It's the keyboardist from Phish, my favorite keyboardist in the world. So there you go.
Happy birthday, Paige. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question, and we need to know how many people are on a cricket team, 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Garrett and see if he knows the answer. Garrett, good morning.
Oh, my goodness. You guys rock.
Thank you. All right, how many players on a cricket team, Garrett?
I'm going to guess 11.
11 is correct.
Right.
Good guess. Hang on, Garrett. Give you a pair of tickets to see Puddle of Mud, Saving Abel and Sponge at the Block at Harris, Philadelphia, Saturday, July 7th. Plus, qualify for a meet and greet with all three bands. And tickets are on sale now at harrisphilly.com. You must be at least 21 years of age or older. Let's start with the royal wedding. Prince George, Princess Charlotte will be two of the 10 pint-sized bridesmaids and page boys.
Sorry, man. We love you.
I'm going to put him on hold.
Love you, buddy.
Dude, look, Casey, I'm hitting hold, and nothing's happening.
Okay, let me do it over here.
Our new sidekick is Garrett!
Hey, Garrett!
Garrett in the morning!
Garrett, what do you think about this royal wedding stuff?
Oh, see, I'll be honest with you. My mom, she has passed, but she was all about the royal wedding.
Yeah?
I'm all about it.
All about it because his mom's all about it.
A lot of people are staying up early, or getting up early on Saturday.
He's at home.
To participate.
What time will the wedding be?
I think 7 o'clock, our time.
Is when we'll be able to see it?
Yeah, I believe that's the case.
Yeah, I think it's a 8-hour difference between us. Yeah. They're 8 hours earlier.
It's 5 or 6.
Oh, okay.
Depending on time of year.
All right, so they're earlier than us, so we'll be able. Or they're later than us. We are earlier than them, so what happens later in the day happens earlier.
They're having the wedding at 2 o'clock in the morning there.
Right, something like that.
Just so there's not a crowd.
Anyhow, every child selected is under the age of 8.
Wow.
To be bridesmaids and page boys, with the youngest one just being 2 years old. Kendall reveals, So George, who is 4, and Charlotte, who is 2, the royal offspring of Prince William and Kate Middleton, toddled down the aisle last May for Aunt Pippa Middleton's wedding to hedge fund manager James Matthews. British royal weddings, by the way, rarely feature adult bridesmaids and groomsmen.
Oh, really?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
William will serve.
Is there a particular reason for that? Is because they want to reinforce their strong child slavery practices?
Maybe that's
But they do have a maid of honor and best man.
Go ahead.
Because the last one, Pippa, was the...
Pippa!
She was also in white, and that was a big deal.
Well, this time a little different. William will serve as Harry's best man, but Meghan has no maid of honor.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. She's not doing it.
I guess maybe it is if it's a sibling, you know? You don't just choose a friend, maybe?
And her siblings are... she's a half-sister that is loony.
I have some info on her. Yeah. So the happy news is welcome break from the drama that has unfolded in the last week. Meghan's father, Thomas, of course, had those candid photos. And since that news break, Thomas has waffled about walking Meghan down the aisle. The 73-year-old has most recently said he would not attend because of heart surgery he is scheduled to undergo. But we'll see what happens. Now, Meghan's estranged half-sister, Samantha, took the fall for those stage photos earlier this week. Spoke out again to TMZ yesterday, implying that Meghan is trying to muzzle her. She said there's something in this country known as freedom of speech.
America, Jack.
God, I love it when people use the old freedom of speech defense. She doesn't have a copyright on that, and she's not going to tell me that I can't speak about my own life, my father's, where it's a matter of public self-defense. because the media is disparaging us.
And
she said, I'm not going to take it.
So honestly, listening to her speak right now, why would anyone want to put a muzzle on that?
Samantha, who's 53, said it is unclear, or no, they're saying it is unclear when or if Megan told her to stay silent. She said, she's not qualified to suggest that I don't speak out under any law in this country. This is not Great Britain. This is America, Jack. She said, I'm a United States citizen, and that's all there is to it. She's way out of her league to tell me that I can't speak. I'm not saying anything about her, but if I'm talking about my life or my father, she has to respect him.
So
listen, as a relative, she can say, do you know, can you shut
can
up?
Can you shut up?
That?
Yeah, that's everybody's America, right. Jack. Yeah, you can America. Tell, yeah. You can tell your half-sister to shut up.
Yes, exactly. It's America.
This is America, Jack.
In any country.
Samantha was not invited to the wedding.
Yeah, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. She seems like such a prize.
Now, meanwhile, Samantha was hospitalized with a possible broken ankle yesterday. The injury,
from
which
tripping over her tongue.
Well, it also includes a possible fractured knee, and it occurred
from
my leg. Occurred
Megan's fault. Megan made it happen.
It was following a run-in with the paparazzi. Samantha's boyfriend Mark told TMZ they were driving in Florida near a toll booth when they had a paparazzi confrontation.
What do you think the odds are that Samantha, without Meghan Markle in her life, would ever have had a run-in with paparazzi?
He said the photographer veered in front of the vehicle in an attempt to get a clear angle. Mark reportedly swerved to the left while trying to avoid him, running into a concrete barrier. Samantha allegedly hit the windshield and fell to the floor mat, twisting her foot backward, but she has MS and was not able to lift herself up. The paparazzo fled the scene. And
does she, in fact, have MS?
I don't know. That's what it says here. So
you can't trust anything coming out of it.
Now, it's being reported that Elton John will perform on Saturday.
Yes. And if he performs Candle in the Wind, I'm going to eat a bullet.
Sources close to Elton tell TMZ the singer is set to perform during Saturday's event. It is still unclear whether he'll get behind his piano at the church ceremony or at the reception later in the night.
He could do both. Yeah. He'll probably do Philadelphia Freedom.
Well, I don't know about that, but Elton's been tight with the royal family, obviously, for years.
Crocodile Rock.
Well, this would be a good reception.
Sure, yeah.
A great dance song, actually. He's been friends with the royal family for years, and, of course, he was extremely close with Princess Diana.
You know, it'd be a great song to play during the actual ceremony, just for a cadence, Benny and the Jets.
Yeah.
So you could walk very slowly.
Yeah.
Dan, Dan,
yep.
Dan, Dan.
One of my all-time
great song.
Favorite songs.
So they're in the back of the church, and imagine them walking in beat to this part. And you already have the built-in crowd noise.
Yeah. So we will find out this weekend what and when with Elton John at the wedding.
It reminds me of Randall Cunningham's wedding, old quarterback from the Eagles. It just, that's, for some reason, sticks out in my mind is when people were processing down the aisle, they basically line danced down the aisle. It was ridiculous.
Well, to be honest, that's what Meghan Markle made mention of that and said they were hoping to emulate that.
Yeah. So more on Polly Perrette. She thanked CBS for acknowledging what it dubbed her workplace concern following her exit from long-running drama NCIS. Earlier this week, she posted a series of tweets claiming that she had endured multiple physical assaults and basically said that they were the reason that she left the show. It's horrifying, she wrote. I left. Speculation was rampant as to why she left the show, which prompted her response. Now, late Tuesday, CBS issued a statement confirming that more than a year ago, Perrette, quote, came to us with a workplace concern. We took the matter seriously and worked with her to find a resolution.
Did they mention who it involved?
We are committed to a safe work environment on all our shows. No, CBS did not mention who was involved. Now, she saw the response and she tweeted, I want to thank my studio and network CBS. They have always been so good to me and always have my back. So she doesn't have a beef with them. Now, while it's unclear what specifically prompted her to exit beyond the unexplained multiple assaults, many observers on social media and in the press speculate that her departure stems from a feud between her and Mark Harmon over his pit bull, Dave. The beef apparently got so bad she refused to share scenes with Harmon and went so far as to refuse to sit on the same side of the table during the table reads.
What was the problem? Was the pit bull stealing her lines?
No. They never alluded to the specific attack on Perrette, but it did mention that Dave, the pit bull, attacked a crew member in 2016.
Huh.
Dave was reportedly retrained after the incident, which resulted in 16 stitches on this person.
Oh, wow.
So she may have felt uncomfortable with a dog that attacked someone on set. And, you know, people can be very defensive about their pets.
Sure. But
and it could have gotten back and forth.
And there are people that are legitimately just afraid of dogs.
Sure.
And you have to appreciate that as well.
But Dave reportedly remained on set.
Yay!
That's Mark greeting him every day.
Yeah.
Because Dave would come out of his makeup trailer.
Yeah.
Dave!
So I don't
Who's my boy?
But that is just speculation. So we don't really know exactly what it's all about as of yet. Stan Lee has... has filed a supersized lawsuit in excess of $1 billion against a company that he co-founded, Pow Entertainment. Lee filed the suit Tuesday in Los Angeles Superior Court alleging that Pow... conspired with two employees. The suit states, per CNN, Power Entertainment CEO Shane Duffy and co-founder Gil Chapman, Champion. There you go. Thank you. conspired and agreed to broker a sham deal to sell POW to a company in China and fraudulently steal Stan Lee's identity, name, image, and likeness as part of a nefarious scheme to benefit financially at Lee's expense.
They were going
to
sell it to a Chinese company named...
Bam.
The suit centers on the 2017 sale of POW to Camsing International. In the suit, Lee also claimed they fraudulently obtained his signature to gain the exclusive right to use Lee's name, identity, image, and likeness on a worldwide basis in perpetuity.
I'd be curious to calculate the amount of money, the amount of revenue generated by anything direct or indirectly associated with Stan Lee's creations.
Yep.
Could you imagine the total money that this guy has created? Maybe not himself gotten personally, but it's staggering.
Well, and think about it. It was probably fairly impressive in 1995.
Yes. You know,
it was probably okay. Now, after the last 10 years of the Marvel Universe, I mean, it's hyper.
It was certainly dominating. Formidable.
Yeah.
You know, because you also, you had the Hulk TV series. You had things that were very profitable, but now it's galactic.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be approaching $10 billion
I'd
or
say
15.
Even more.
You know, it's insane.
I think it's a kabillion, and I know that's not probably
kabillion?
Accurate.
One kabillion?
Kabillion and a half, modestly.
Okay.
Kabillion to a kabillion and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the statement from Powell said the allegations are completely without merit. The notion that Mr. Lee did not knowingly grant Powell exclusive rights to his creative works or his identity is so preposterous that we have to wonder whether Mr. Lee is personally behind the lawsuit. He's also wrestling control of his social media accounts back after posting on Twitter that previous posts made under his real Stan Lee account weren't made by him. He asked for help posting videos. After fans helped him, he posted his first effort. Lee said, "Hey, true believers, I just want to tell you that I love your comments on Twitter. I don't know how much I've been missing now that I see them, and I just want you to know that I appreciate everything you say and do, and I love you all, and let's keep up this relationship. Excelsior."
Excelsior!
Yeah, so we'll see where this lawsuit goes.
Got his Twitter handle back, which is Hope Solo's butthole.
Hope? No, that is not him. That is not him.
That's not him?
No.
He fought to get it back.
Hey, evidence in the case against sex cult leader Keith Raniere and his accused sidekick, Smallville actress Allison Mack, will include not only victims of sex trafficking and forced labor, but of human smuggling and alien harboring as well.
So they were kidnapping and transporting people.
Yeah.
This is a whole new level of crime.
Even aliens.
Alien from outer space. People who have come here, presumably in peace.
Yeah. They're taken into custody.
Yes.
In a filing to discuss how sensitive evidence involved...
Whoa, Zontar, where are you going?
Involving the victims of Rainier's cult, Nexium, will be handled. Brooklyn federal prosecutors wrote that some materials identify victims of human smuggling, alien harboring, physical or mental abuse toward an intimate partner, stalking, sexual abuse, or sex trafficking.
So she is... Allison Mack is testifying or giving them evidence against the cult leader. But they can't... I mean... They can't, she can't get off scot-free. These are huge charges.
Yeah.
A reduced sentence, perhaps, or the deal maybe for a reduced sentence, but I can't imagine they're letting her get away with this whole thing.
So human smuggling refers to the importation of illegals in the U.S. or the harboring of illegals already here. This language has not previously been mentioned in this case, which also involves allegations of sex slavery and branding of women and could suggest new charges may be filed.
She was on Smallville, and need I remind you that Superman was an alien.
This is a good point.
Yeah.
I never really thought of that. Well,
maybe that's where she picked up the bad habits.
John Cena and Nikki Bella have been doing the publicity rounds ahead of the season 3 premiere of Total Bellas, and many are becoming suspicious of their increasingly public and increasingly dramatic discussion of their breakup.
Mm-hmm.
The pro wrestlers called off their wedding just a few weeks before they were to say I do on May 5th, and ever since, Cena has been posting his musings about the meaning of life and love on social media. And this week, he turned it up a notch on the Today Show. We talked about this. He told Kathy Lee and Hoda Kotb, I still love Nicole. I still would love to marry Nicole. I still would love to have a family with Nicole. There was an unfortunate series of circumstances where our relationship ended. Now, her response was coy when asked about it later in the day. She called Cena the love of her life when asked about his declaration, but didn't elaborate. And then she and her twin Bree appeared as themselves on Today on Wednesday, and she professed complete surprise at his declaration. She had said, I was so shocked. I literally was in the middle of the red carpet for the NBC Universal upfronts and got the breaking news.
I mean,
John, and you guys know this, he is absolutely an amazing man, such a sweetheart, and I truly love him so much. He's my best friend. So anyhow, she said, I just know that a healthy me will be a healthy us.
A healthy me will be a healthy us.
I do have hope for our future, but I know right now I need to work on me. Before I do say those vows and walk down that aisle, I just don't want to be hesitant.
I knew it.
And she said, I don't want to be regretful. And here's where her sister Bree weighs in.
Okay.
She said, my sister and I were always the type of people who were open books. We have no filters, the good and the bad and the ugly. It's all going on our show. This is my fight song. Take back my life. And this season shows other women out there that you're not alone. Cold feet really exist.
Which show? Yes. Which show?
The Bellas.
Bela Lugosi and Bella Abzug.
The DeBellas.
Yazoo. Yeah. That'd be a cool show. Nikki Bella and DeBella.
She said, I definitely have hope.
Preston, from what you're saying, are we thinking, and are other folks thinking, that there's a little bit of orchestration here?
Yeah.
Involved for PR?
Yeah, maybe.
I know, because she supposedly, even though they've gone a little bit their separate ways, she still keeps a room in his neck. So,
hey, this is fun. On and off lovers and perma best friends and frenemies, Mindy Kaling and BJ Novak are duking it out again, but this time it's over the Yanny and Laurel issue.
I saw this.
Oh, so, and Nick has a good thing to bring up about this.
She had texted to, or I guess she posted on Twitter to Novak, Yanny or Laurel, I need to know. And he hears Laurel. And she says, hey, we've had a long relationship. You mean a lot to me. But if you don't hear Yanny, it's over. And then he wrote, you got to be kidding me. And she said, who hears Yanny? He said, I do. She texted back. Emmy Rossum is Team Yanny, according to her Twitter feed, as is Robin Roberts. But Chrissy Teigen, she said, it's so clearly Laurel, I can't even figure out how one would hear Yanny. To the dismay of Kaling, by the way, who wasn't having it, she said, I bought your cookbook. I loved it. And now you betray me? So people were going back and forth.
My kids all heard Yanny. Mm.
Yeah, you know what? I did it with Jason. He heard Yanny, too. Yeah.
Our family was split. We heard some Yanny and some Laurel.
Yeah, that's the divisive times we live in. And Nick, mm-hmm. Tell the gang what you...
Marley Matlin, who's a deaf actress and won an Oscar for Children of a Lesser God, tweeted last night, Yanny or Laurel? Don't ask me. I can't hear S.
Yeah, that's great.
It was really well
that's
written.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, two more quick things. Speaking of Chrissy Teigen, the Legends, her husband, John Legend, and her are officially a family of four. She announced on Twitter late Wednesday night that she and John Legend have welcomed their son. She wrote, somebody's here. The 32-year-old model and cookbook author had tweeted it. It is their second child for Chrissy and John together. They are already parents of 2-year-old daughter Luna. They announced that they were expecting a baby boy back on Grammys night in January.
Legend's a really cool last name.
Yeah, it is.
Is that his real last name?
It is not. I forgot what it actually is.
Lipschitz.
She tweeted about it a while back, I believe. But okay. I don't think Legend is his last name.
But if you could score, if you actually legitimately had Legend.
No, it's John Roger Stevens.
Okay. It's not as good.
And he went to Penn, right?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah. Remember we saw him somewhere?
We saw him at the airport. Yeah.
Yeah, in Jamaica. We saw him at the airport.
Right. And talked
to him. He wasn't that big then.
Right. And we talked a little bit about Philly, and he was like, yeah, I went to Penn. And he knows the radio station, and then he promptly turned us down for an interview.
Well, yeah, we said, sure, I'll come on the show, and then he never got
us. Why don't you go away?
Yeah.
Why don't you talk to my agent, Terrence Howard?
What? One last story. Fast and Furious franchise star Vin Diesel is set to star in STX's action comedy called Muscle.
A lot of action, but it's got comedy.
Adam Fogelson, chairman of STX, in making the announcement, said, I've known Vin for more than a decade after working closely with him on the Fast and Furious franchise, and I'm excited for him to return to this genre.
They say we inherit the sins of our fathers.
He said that Muscle is the perfect blend of action and comedy.
It's a wonderful thing. You're going
to
love it.
That his millions of devoted fans around the world have come to love him for.
Did you see the last Fast and Furious?
No, I don't like that. Those movies don't do a damn thing for me.
They are super kinetic fun, but their stock and trade is pushing the believability limit. Mm-hmm. This last one might as well have been Space Jam.
No, that's why I bailed on him because, I mean, after a while, and look, I get it. It's a movie.
Yeah.
And you have to suspend all disbelief. But sometimes it just gets stupid over the top, and I bailed on it.
I always say, just give me a little to hold on to.
Yeah.
And they just, I mean, outlandish.
How much does he get paid for saying, I am Groot?
A ton. Yeah. That's probably his best performance outside of Saving Private Ryan.
So, anyhow, they said the millions of his devoted fans around the world have come to love him for, and we believe has the potential to become his next big signature franchise.
It's going to be big.
Yeah, so we'll see if that comes to pass. All right.
Yeah.
Clips. Let's begin here. The Netflix sensation 13 Reasons Why is back after more than a year-long wait with promises of new mysteries and characters amidst the aftermath of Hannah Barker's death. In this clip, Dylan Minnette explains what it's like being asked to play a beloved character.
There are going to be lots of people who cared about this character so much. I felt a major responsibility, but at the same time, I couldn't wrap my head around the fact. I said, I'm playing like the lead character on a Netflix show. That's crazy because I was never a part of Netflix before, and it was something I really wasn't able to wrap my head around until it really came out. So surreal, really.
13 Reasons Why Season 2 premieres on Netflix tomorrow. Next clip, please.
All right.
This year's about to get even better for superhero fans with the release of Deadpool 2. Wisecracking mercenary Deadpool will be joining forces with three mutants, Bedlam, Shatterstar, and Domino, to protect a boy from the all-powerful Cable. In this clip, Ed Skrein, is that how you say his name? S-K-K-R-E-I-N?
Yeah.
Reveals the inspirations for his character Ajax, you remember.
Oh, that's awesome.
Here we go.
The two reference points throughout the whole movie were Rutger Hauer's character in Blade Runner, Roy Batty, and Harold Shipman, the serial killer. But what we wanted was somebody who wasn't evil, but something who was lacking empathy and positive feelings such as remorse and responsibility and all of that.
Deadpool 2 hits theaters tomorrow.
And great reviews from Nick Murphy saw it.
Marissa
saw it. And they're saying as good as, if not better than the original.
It's in theaters tonight. Oh, really?
Tonight?
Excellent. All right.
We have an event to go to.
We got to take a break. It's 10 minutes after 7. We got a lot going on. Jay Leno's on the show. We're going to have Katie Morgan stopping by. David Blaine is on the program and more. We'll get you more of the details when we come back. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Royal Blood.
I only lie when I love you.
Nathaniel Rateliff in the Night Sweats.
I wanna leave it all out there.
Tom Kiefer featuring Lizzie Hale.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We chose another high school. Kathy ran in there and into the jar and got the name out, which, by the way, our winner from Collingswood High School was Mrs. Danielle Armano, and she is the head of their TV production department. I've just been told, breaking news.
Whoa, whoa.
She's on the phone line.
What?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
We're going to go to her in just a second, but I want to mention that we have...
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Lenape High School in Medford, New Jersey is the next one who has the task of telling us who the coolest teacher of the past year has been. It's very, very simple. Just text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333, only if you go to Lenape High School. And we need you to do it in that way. So text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333. And we will tally up the votes and we'll do it. We'll go till about 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
And then we'll Marissa tallies them up and then we will announce our winner. All right, so I think I should be able to access the phone line.
I hope so.
Whether you guys have this or not. But Casey, we would like to say hello. No, we can't.
No, wait.
We got it.
I hit the button and there's some issues. Mrs. Armano?
Yes, this is Mrs. Armano.
Armano. This is Danielle Armano. Congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. I am flattered.
Yeah, you feel pretty special about this this appointment by your students?
I do. I really do. They know I appreciate them tremendously.
That's cool. How long have you been teaching?
20 years.
20 years,
and all at Collingswood.
I spent 10 years at Winslow Township High School and 10 years at Collingswood.
Okay, nice. Good for you. And you teach television production. That's pretty cool. How did you fall into that side of things?
I have a degree in radio, television, and film.
Uh-huh.
And I decided that I would love to share my enthusiasm for the content with high school students. So I've been running a program for 20 years.
This sort of thing was only, you'd have to go to college before. I mean, this is the first time I got exposed to using hands-on television equipment and radio equipment. But now, as Preston's pointing out, that a lot of high schools have TV labs and things of that nature. So this is pretty common, correct?
Yes, it is. I have a public access channel, a TV studio. We do a radio show.
Man.
We do films. So
I feel miserable.
I do. I would have been all over that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Had I had that opportunity at high school, it would have been really cool.
And do you know, are you aware that our assistant program director and the program director of Ben FM is a graduate of Collingswood High School?
I did not.
Yes. So Chuck D'Amico is, and he got, I mean, he's been a fan of MMR for years and years. In fact, his old class picture when he was in like 7th grade or 8th grade is him in an MMR t-shirt. So
mm-hmm. as you pull into the school, that statue of the man with the hairy back, that's Chuck.
Yeah, that's Chuck. Yeah. No, what I think Cage is going to say is that you should contact him and see if he might want to come in and speak to the students sometime.
Yes, absolutely. He's very accomplished.
Yeah. He doesn't do much. He's got tons of free time.
Yes.
He probably do like a 7-part series.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he barely has a job.
He's insanely busy. Hey, we did find out. Now, we didn't find a whole lot of info. We usually try to dig up some information about our coolest teacher of the year, and we found out two things. Number one, you're a rocker, and number two, you love superhero movies. Is that true?
Yes, I do. I usually plan trips and invite about 10 to 20 students to come to see superhero movies with me.
All right, did you see Infinity War?
Of course. We saw it at midnight.
There you go.
Midnight screening. That's a fan.
And awesome. Your review?
Oh, it was tremendous. I loved it. All of my students loved it. We sat after in the movie theater and talked about the next one.
All right, cool. You're the real deal then.
All right, and you're a rocker, so what kind of, who are you into music-wise?
U2. My husband and I met at a U2 concert.
There we go.
We named our son Joshua after the Joshua tree. So.
Wow. Preston, you and your husband met at a U2 concert.
Yeah, it was Joshua tree in 1987. Yeah, absolutely.
Very nice.
Well, that's cool. Well, good for you. Well, we have this little gesture from our, from your students to give to you. And we're doing this presented with Rita's Water Ice. And we're going to set you up with the coveted Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug, which is it's like a trophy.
It is a trophy. It's something that you need to display prominently, lord it in front of the other teachers, and walk around with it all the time.
We have a $25 Rita's Water Ice gift card. Our friends from Gottschall's Turkey Bacon are going to give you some of their product along with $50 in cash. They are the real wood smoked turkey bacon. So a little gift for you there from your students. So congratulations.
Well, thank you so much.
You bet. All right. So let's hear it from Mrs. Danielle Armano. Collingswood High School. And don't forget the Rita's Water Ice gift cards make a great teacher's gift. We're looking once again for votes, this time from Lenape High School in Medford, New Jersey. So your teacher, your favorite teacher, could be on the air with us tomorrow morning.
I'm on her Facebook page right now. She campaigned for it.
Should.
That's what you should do.
Absolutely.
Yep,
absolutely. All right, so
we got to put her on hold.
What is this?
I can't put people on hold.
Preston, you want me to get under the console there?
Yeah, we might need to. Something's wrong with our...
lay down,
I brought my
nap.
Allen wrench.
All right.
Something's wrong with our phone line today. What, Casey?
Well, Marissa's going to reset the board for us real quick.
Okay, so you might hear us in Hebrew for a few seconds.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind. We'll be talking like right that. To left. So, ladies and gentlemen, someone here in our studio was a witness of a crime yesterday.
Not only that, redirected the course of crime solving in this country.
That is correct. Yes, some people may use the word hero, and we're okay with that.
Yeah, and I agree. And yet it fails to really deliver on what was accomplished by one man who stood in the face of crime.
The man who stood? Casey Foster.
Casey boy.
Casey boy. Now, what happened? No, you had something interesting happen yesterday.
I don't want to go long-winded on this, so here's what I'm going to do.
It's not possible.
I'm just going to shut your hole. Shut your hole, woman. You're talking to a hero. And address me as such.
Yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell you real quick what I did, and then you guys can ask me questions. I spotted a skimmer.
There will be a press. Yeah,
I spotted a skimmer on an ATM yesterday, and I saved the day. So I don't know how many people's bank accounts I saved, but
you were telling us a story. You were actually at, and it's interesting because you were at a gas station that is pretty clean. Sometimes I'm a more leery in what you would naturally assume like a seedier place or something, but this is a well trafficked. Often used gas station that you mentioned.
Yeah, and my bank has an ATM in there, and that's why I use this particular location because I don't want to get charged for using an ATM. So here's what I found out yesterday because I had to cancel my credit card or my debit card and all that stuff.
But explain how you found out because you were suspicious and then you stuck with your suspicion. Explain that process.
Well, I did what I always do, which is I yank on that little piece that sticks out from the ATM that you stick your card in.
We're talking about the rounded. Now, some of them have looks like a little prong now.
Mm-hmm.
Some now have it where you stick it in and it locks it in place. This is one where you put it in and then pull it out.
Yeah, and I'm disappointed that I even, because the second I kind of pulled on it, it something didn't feel right, you know?
Right, right.
But I continued with my transaction, and I put my PIN number in, I got my money out, and then after I got my money and my receipt, I yanked on that little piece again, and it was on tight, guys. It was on really, really tight, but there still was a little bit of give to it.
Right.
Which normally does not happen, and I've used this ATM in the past many times. But there was just enough little give to it that I thought, man, there's something up with this. At the time, there were actually two police officers, police cars out front of this place because they were responding to another call at this place.
Or as you refer to them, the Popo.
The Popo.
Yeah.
I asked, I was reluctant to even say something because I'm like, I don't want to be an alarmist, you know?
Right.
But I said, are the cops here, are they around here anywhere? And the one guy in the store was like, well, they're doing something right now. Is there anything I can help you with? And I said, I think there's a skimmer on this ATM. And that guy was actually corporate from the store.
Oh.
And he was like, well, let me go inspect it. And I go to like show him what I did. I go, hey, I pulled it. He goes, don't touch it. Whatever you do, don't touch it. And
why?
Because of fingerprints.
Fingerprints and all that
semen.
Sort of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Semen?
So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, you never know, man. I would imagine these people that skim things, are just disgusting human beings.
Yeah, anytime that there's something, some criminal activity, they want you to have as little contact with as possible because of
semen.
Evidence and semen. Yeah. Loads of semen.
Yeah, but you had already
just covered in semen. Dripping in semen.
There is like something wet on this. So, okay, so he looks at it.
He grabs his phone and he looks underneath. He was looking for something that I never knew to look for, and that's a camera over the keypad. And so he took his camera out or his phone out, put his flashlight on, and he goes, "Yeah, there's a skimmer on this thing, all right." And then he showed me all the telltale signs. Obviously, the thing that I did, which is yank on that little receiver part,
right,
was the right thing to do because, sure enough, there was a seam there that wasn't supposed to be there, and then right above the keypad is this little
a pinhole camera?
These a-holes, they put so much time and effort into this to steal from me.
Right.
Right?
If they just put that same time and effort into a legitimate occupation.
Like my money, and it's not even like it's like credit, oh, well, don't worry about it, That's my money that I work for, you a-hole. So anyway, I was so pissed. Yeah, so there's this little camera that that you know gets your little your PIN number, and that's what they do. So I immediately got on the phone with my bank, and this is what my bank told me, and I'm going to tell everybody else to if you're going to use the ATM, use it at a bank branch because they are required to check their ATMs multiple times a day.
Okay,
multiple times a day. No, this is inside a store.
Inside a store?
Inside a store.
It quite often is, Preston, inside the store. A lot of times also, though, they'll put them and they put the skimmers on the gas pumps case. You know that, too, as well.
Well, so I was worried because I had actually used that gas pump earlier in the morning. I'm like,
I'm sorry, are you not saying where it is?
I don't want to say where it is.
Yeah, but why? I would...
Because it doesn't matter because that skimmer's not there anymore.
I know, but what about all the people who used it prior to? They might need to alert their credit card company.
It's a valid point.
It is a good point. All right, so if you used an ATM at an A-plus mini mart on City Avenue yesterday or the day before or whatever, check your bank stuff. Because the cops were there. They told me to, you know, because I was on the phone with my bank. They said, make sure you check your last four transactions. And I love the popo.
By the way, Casey, somebody pointed out, and I love this. I completely forgotten in a text message that came up that at one point we did call you Thwartman.
Thwartman.
I was Thwartman.
And clearly.
You are, man.
You clearly thwarted yesterday.
Yesterday you had a banner day because you made a major discovery in the world of the Laurel Yanni thing.
Yes.
A scientific discovery. And you thwarted an ATM thief.
So now,
you call your bank, let them know what the story is.
And I had
a transaction almost immediately taken place. My guess is with these things, as they say, they skim them, take it back, and then they do it. There's not an immediate.
There's nobody at a remote site that's you know gathering all this information, or at least I hope not. So, but just to be safe, you know, I canceled all of my credit cards and debit cards and all that stuff.
You also legally changed your name to Meatloaf.
How protected is your bank account when it comes to ATM skimming?
I don't know.
Because credit card protection is fairly comprehensive these days. I mean, depending on the credit card or whatever. Yep. But they'll alert you and they'll protect money that has been taken out or purchases made. But as far as cash that's been withdrawn.
Yeah, that's where it gets dicey, Nick.
Yeah, I think you're kind of screwed. And I had a credit card skimmer incident at near the Vegas airport last year. And I didn't know about it until I got home, but it was with my credit card and the company was on it right away. And they defaulted any charges that were against me.
Interesting. Hang on a second. This is
that's the guy
who helped you yesterday.
Oh, hey.
A police officer. I'm not. Is it anonymous?
I don't know.
It's Officer Anonymous.
Dude, the phone lines. We gotta.
Rodney's here. Rodney. Hey. Let me, the other hero.
Hello, officer. Are you on the line?
I am. How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing good. Can we reveal who you are? Or would you rather stay anonymous? It's either way.
One of Lower Marion's finest.
Okay, one of Lower Marion's finest. So you helped Casey out with this yesterday.
He did. I didn't even know it was him. So, hey, Case, how you doing?
Hey, thank you so much for your help yesterday.
You're very welcome. That was quite a day.
Yeah. So you guys see this stuff frequently?
Quite often, yes.
Wow, man.
And what of the businesses, officer, what are the ones usually targeted with these ATMs?
The businesses like that.
Okay.
You know, the locations inside convenience stores, but they've actually put them on the banks themselves.
They're getting them into the actual banks. As Casey just said, as a bit of advice... To use the banks only, but you're saying that they've penetrated those.
I would say use banks during the bank's business hours. You know, because if let's say the bank closes at 6 and I were a skimmer, I'd go there at 6:01. You know, because they're not checking it between 6 p.m. and whatever other time when they open up. But
so how frequently? So when they put a skimmer like this in, would they come back? Do they come back like every evening, or do they?
That's what we're talking about. We're trying to figure out what's the time frame in which they put it on. It's probably put on during the late night hours where business is slow and there's not a lot of people in there because it takes some time. And whether they leave it on for a few hours or a day or two, that's what we're trying to figure out.
So it
varies.
And we believe that there's obviously surveillance cameras within that place. So So the odds are that they got whoever did it on video, correct?
Hopefully. We've got some beautiful snapshots and video of people actually putting them on, removing them. So our investigations have led to arrests in the past, so we're hoping this one will do the same.
So in general use of an ATM with this camera, they tell you to protect your code as you punch it in. So right. if someone were to place their hand over the keypad as they're entering in the code, their hand over the numbers, would that thwart someone who is attempting to call that information?
That may help, but the skimmer itself where your card slides into is also collecting data.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah.
All right, cool. Any chance that we can get, can Casey become an official member of the Lower Marion Police Department? Or
I think he should be an honorary member.
I think so, honestly. Okay. Yeah,
he did thwart this particular operation.
Junior officer, yeah. Casey Foster.
You know what you need to start? Where they Preston, an officer, maybe you can go with this. They have SWAT. How about thwart? T period, right? H period. Officer. Yeah, the thwart officer.
I like it.
Thwart squad.
Right.
Tactical weapon.
Hey, guys, do me a favor real fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
My buddy Gary Timoyne with ALS. If you remember him?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Big shout out to my man. He's doing okay. He's hanging in there.
Excellent.
Yeah. Gary, is he down in Florida now? Where is he now?
He did go to Florida. His family stuff. They vacationed down there, but he's still in Collegeville at his residence.
All right. All right. Yes, absolutely. We love Gary.
Gary's awesome. Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for the heads up. We appreciate it, man.
You guys take care. Have a great
day. All right.
Day.
Take care. We'll see you. So let me see here. I don't know what to do with our phone lines.
Well, Marissa's going to do this for you.
Yeah, I know.
Do you want me to pretend on the people you're going to, Preston?
Yeah, let's go to... No, hang on a second. Yeah, let's go to... we have Mr. Diesel on line two.
You know, it occurs to me this is really about family. trusting your family. And people who work at these various convenience stores, they're like family.
Oh, Mr. Diesel.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Diesel. Appreciate
no
it.
Problem. First time, long time, last time.
All right, now I'm going to go to Noah, who is a...
yeah, I built an ark, man. No.
He's a Philadelphia police officer. Noah, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
So I know you guys had the credit card scammer. We get these a lot. Our major crimes division usually handles them. But what these guys have been doing, they're getting caught because we're leaving them on machines to see who comes back and gets them.
Okay, so a word to the people who are engaging in this. You're sort of you're setting the trap for them by leaving them in place and observing the ATMs. Okay,
correct.
Good.
But what they've been doing is they, you know, there's this thing we have called Wi-Fi now.
Yeah.
So they've been using that to transfer the card numbers, and even sometimes they'll have a Wi-Fi camera so that they can sit somewhere in a parking lot. Now, they don't have to – they're not, you know, miles and miles away, but sometimes they'll be in a parking lot or somewhere near the machine, and they don't have to ever come back and get it. They don't have to touch it again.
The tech issue is wild because for every modification, there's some – prick out there who's going to do something that can foil it. In this case, though, like my wife and I in the ATM account, we have just a specific ATM account, and the funds are just you know, nominal.
Yeah, it's just enough to grab some money when you need it. Right?
And keep it that way. So, you know, yeah, but it's, well, good for that. Let that be a word of caution to anyone considering doing this, that they're coming after you.
All right, thanks, Noah. We appreciate it. All right, we'll see you later. Yeah, it's... you know, but Steve, you talk about the technology and you talk about a criminal. This is just, this is like easy pickings.
It is.
You know what I mean? They see it as just a simple way to go out and just bang, 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 snag some cash.
And because people are also, I see people, I'm very protective when I enter in my code and everything. I look around.
I'm not.
I do.
Now, I don't use... And this is part of the reason I don't use ATMs that often. My wife will get amounts of cash, and we keep it at home.
Where do you keep it in there?
We have like a petty cash box.
A Tom Petty cash box.
See, I'm trying to think. You know,
Keep it there, and instead of going to the ATM, I just go in and I grab what I need for the week.
All right.
And I'm good to go. And she will do it like when depositing payroll checks and things like that, or doing work. And she'll go to the bank, get X amount of money out, set that aside, and it's right there because you're going to take it out eventually.
Sure.
Anyway.
So for us, because we're like ships that pass the night a lot of times during the week. My wife and I, we will use the ATM, but again, I say we keep a nominal amount just to pluck out of. So if someone were to get it, they couldn't get a lot out.
I have a stack of $100 bills that I like to keep underneath Nick's back deck.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Yeah, and
in his porn drawer.
Yeah.
Right. And it's guarded by those hot those naked ladies.
Yes.
Yeah.
That are offering up free meth.
And I think that's safe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's smart. Just smart with your money.
But so it doesn't blow away, I have a big bag of diamonds that I use to weigh it down. I think that's a smart way to go.
Yeah. We've backed off of using the ATM card as much and stick with credit just in case, because you are very well protected. And you're right, Nick. They will alert you.
Yeah.
They've alerted my wife when I've been the one
that's
who's,
right.
Who's,
yeah. I've been you,
by
you
the
when
way,
that happened.
Hun, I got a call last night at 3 a.m. Were you in Tulum taking money out?
Were you gambling?
$600?
And who is Consuelo Sanchez?
Right, exactly.
I'll tell you what, though. The credit card companies are great, and I also have LifeLock. So I'm out the wazoo protected. So, like, Preston, with that, around the time of Christmas, when I go make purchases, I'm buying stuff for Claire. I call up the credit card company and I say, you know, this is what this is for.
Oh,
so please don't, because then she might get an alert. Yeah. There was a purchase made.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. When I was trying to cancel my credit card, I was on the phone with the bank, and they went through a whole series of.
It was a sperm bank, though. Is the problem?
Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are they? They grilled you?
Well, they big time grilled me.
They should. Then, you want them to.
And then the best that they were able to do on the phone was put a hold on the card, and then I had to actually go to the branch and cancel it and have another card reissued. They wouldn't do that on the phone.
But it's safe. I mean, that's, you want them to do that.
I'm glad.
You never complain when they're going to proper lengths to protect your money.
Yeah. How many credit cards do you guys have?
200. Yeah. No, there are two that I use.
I have, two credit cards and one ATM card.
Yeah.
I have one credit card in my wallet, and then the other five that I have are stored with that money and diamonds under your deck.
Okay. Yes. Those are the ones with the unlimited credit. Yeah, I remember.
The black cards, yeah.
Right.
Why, how many credit cards do you have?
I think just one. I mean, I've opened other accounts over the years, but
I think just one?
Well, I mean, I don't think that I've closed. I think there's a couple of accounts. Like, does Target card count as a credit card?
Yeah. But it's not like a classic.
Do you have the credit card or the debit card?
Yeah.
I have the Target.
Kathy actually works for finances. Yeah,
right.
Yes, hi, I'm Kathy Romano. I'll be handling your account today. And, of course, with every purchase, I get 5% towards purchases of my items.
You know what? I didn't even know they had a debit card. I guess I just have the credit card.
Yeah. Do you guys have rewards cards?
Oh, yeah, well, here you go. Now you're in my turn. Amazon Visa.
Okay.
Marriott. Mother of Jesus.
I think Marriott Visa is what I use. What?
Airline would be the best.
That's what I use.
No.
You know what? I stopped my airline because...
They stink.
Well, because you could, you know, there's certain dates that you can use. There's a lot of restrictions, so I just get cash back on mine.
If you fly from, like, here to Melbourne 30 times, you get a free bag of nuts.
Last year when we went to Denmark, we used our credit that we had built up in our Marriott card. And paid for not only us, but our friends, the Chapmans, their rooms for that entire stay.
Oh, my God.
Now, I hope you gave them a less expensive room.
No, but we, and then you get the VIP experience, access to the little lounge and stuff. I love using cards that have a rewards program that you're going to cash
out. Oh, my God. If it speaks to something in your life, now occasionally I'll make an Amazon purchase. So for me, it really works a lot.
I imagine you use that card every time for the Amazon
every time.
Purchase. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I have an American Airlines card, and American flies obviously in and out of Philly a lot. It's one of the hubs. And I used it for one of the only times in my life I've flown first class, but I got the miles and I flew back and forth from LA, and it was not that many miles to do it. It was great.
Just by happenstance, yesterday off of Amazon, I purchased some ATM skimmers.
Oh, okay. Smart, man.
You can get those on.
I know a gas station.
right. Wow. All right, so you had to cancel your card, right?
I did. Yeah. You know, and that ATM wasn't even like, because there's another A-plus that I go to where the ATM is tucked in the back of the store.
This one was out in the open?
This one was, you know, it's right up against the front window.
You got to have some balls to do that, because you got to pull the piece off.
Yeah.
As that officer was saying, it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people.
Pretty brazen.
I mean, it does piss me off.
Well, listen, you stepped in and you assumed your identity as Thwartman, and you alerted the proper authorities, and you have probably saved a few people from a little bit of heartache and issues. You know,
I want a Thwart division, SWAT, Thwart.
Well,
Vin Diesel can star in the movie.
So SWAT is Special Weapons and Tactics.
Did you see this suggestion that came
thwart
in?
Me. No, Thwart. Tactical, heroic, wise ATM response team.
Yes. There you go. There we go.
That's good.
Thwart.
I love it.
Let's go with that.
Tactical, heroic, wise ATM response team. like it, Casey.
That works.
Nice job.
I'm Thwartman.
All right, we got to take a break. Hey, Thwartman, give me something to give away. Okay. Because I know we got lots of stuff left.
I'll hook you up here. Right. Sebastian Maniscalco.
Okay. Sebastian Maniscalco, we had him on the show yesterday, I believe, wasn't
it? Yes, we did.
Yep. And his show is coming up in, I don't have the full details. Oh, here it is. It's the Stay Hungry Tour, Thursday, September 13th, Wells Fargo Center. And tickets are on sale officially tomorrow at 9 a.m. WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. And we'll take caller number 21 at 215-263-WMMR. And we'll set you up. Case, even the board's not working.
Are you kidding? What's going on today?
I'm going to try to start this music bed. And I tried. And it's coming up. Yeah, everything's gone.
All right. Okay,
ladies, we're going to be hanging out for a while, okay?
You guys
Let me make a call.
Hang on a second.
Okay, yeah, please.
Oh, my God. Ow. What happened?
All right.
It's my family.
I didn't know you had his number.
Oh, yeah. I've always had his number.
Oh, my God.
That's a button, but I only use it in serious situations.
Oh, my God. That didn't just get so loud for you guys in your headphones?
No, but I heard Laurel.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you heard Laurel?
Through my ears.
Hey, do you have the Joker's phone number over there by chance? I don't know if we could call him and see if he could fix something here.
You wonder why I'm smiling this way? Because I got some free money through my ATM.
We do have our own superhero, Rodney Bird.
Yes!
Standing right to my right here, and he's punching in some numbers on the console and trying to get things going. So should I bring up something else?
Rodney always has cool shirts that have letters on the back.
All right, we're just going to switch over to a whole new system here.
Okay, by the way, we're going to simulcast with MGK right now.
Well, I can bring up some other things.
Please.
What I'm pointing out here.
Wait a second. We're okay here, let's see. No, that didn't
it's
work.
It's your new Got character, it. The bringer-upper.
Steve, by the way, you had mentioned Amazon. And,
yes.
Of course, their Prime membership. But, Kathy, did you see that Walmart is now offering free two-day shipping without any membership fees for orders over $35?
Oh, you know what? I did see that. And they're also going to carry Lord & Taylor lines in their store.
What?
Which doesn't make sense to me because isn't that going to take away business from Lord & Taylor?
We had a heart-to-heart about this when this news came out. And we were talking about Kathy and I in the green room here.
Us shoppers.
It does seem kind of weird, though there are certain stores, for example, Free People used to have their line in Macy's. And, like, there were stores within the same mall. And it's like, doesn't that pull away?
Yeah, but think about your Walmart shopper versus your Lord & Taylor shopper. And how probably many people at Walmart wouldn't even step foot into a Lord & Taylor. I'm not saying everybody, but some people. And they might use some of their lower priced merchandise and put that in Walmart and have an opportunity
but
to
it's
move
not
it
like,
that way.
Unlike Free People, Free People is its own brand. So I can see that brand
you're right,
being
right. Lord
sold.
Taylor's another department
Lord
store.
Lord & Taylor's another department store. So whatever brand
it's
is
like
in Lord
having
Taylor,
a Wawa section in 7-Eleven.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I guess so. But anyhow, so for the past few years, Amazon was, the place to get that until they upped their Prime price to $119 a year.
I still consider that the best money spent on because so is this a consistent thing? Is Walmart always going to offer free shipping on items $35 or more? Or is it just a limited period?
It doesn't indicate.
Okay.
But they used to do this thing called the shipping pass, and that was $50 a year membership to let customers get quick free shipping on all orders. But that couldn't quite compete with Prime, so now they're doing this absolutely free, two-day shipping without any membership fees for orders over $35.
And any minimum? Oh, over
$35.
Okay. Got it.
And how much is Prime going up?
It's $119 a year now.
From $99.
Yeah.
So for me, especially because what Walmart can't give you with that, and listen, I'm all Walmart is the one that will pose the best possible attempt at coming at Amazon, but they can't offer the Amazon movies. You know,
right?
All that stuff. Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, Walmart.
And the music services.
Walmart has a ton of stuff, but I mean, for me, I think anyway, like some of the obscure things that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I don't know that Walmart would have that.
I agree.
I know I'm going to find it on Amazon.
I agree.
Okay. People have been talking to me.
You guys, okay? I know.
We're having
an Amazon conversation.
So technically,
are we going country?
We're going country.
Damn it!
Yep.
All right,
sorry.
Hop along.
I don't hate
hop
it.
Along, Elliot.
No, I'm Kenny Big Rig Rider.
Kenny Big Rig Rider.
I'm going back to that name. I only got to use that name on a couple of weekends.
Pretty excited.
Yeah. 95 Country.
Well, yeah, maybe we can get that cowboy boots thing to finally work.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have a pair. Should I bring them tomorrow?
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So I've been told that we're not going country.
Oh.
That I can wrap up this segment, but Casey has to do it from the other room
in
Studio 4F. So...
Does that mean he's spending the morning over there?
We'll take a break.
He's going to kill you.
I guess.
I know.
And we'll come back. Am I going to hear it over here?
No.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
You know what? I think we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
On MMR. Stay with us. We'll return in a little bit with the B-File.
All right. So I don't think Preston's talking right now. And it is working over here. Give him a thumbs up that we're live on the air in the studio. And we'll be right back.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
MMR has tackled the elusive spring and dragged it, kicking and screaming, right in front of the gates of the outdoor concert season. Here comes MMRBQ 2018, presented by Budweiser, Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion, with STP and Alice in Chains, Korn's Jonathan Davis, and Ghost. 8 amazing bands, including The Record Company and Dorothy. Now that I'm Jackie Bam Bam rocks the Sequoia Outback Party Plaza. Preston and Steve meet fans in the Blump Inn. Pierre's Toes in the Grass out on the lawn. And Brendan Jackson anchor complete concert coverage. MMR's 50th birthday edition of the MMRBQ. Tickets are just $35.
Sponsored by Acme, your favorite local supermarket. Also by Meineke Car Care Centers and Big Apple Circus in Philadelphia.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We are in foreign territory right now. It's like coming back home, to be honest.
A home that stunk.
No.
A home that just doesn't sound right.
No, it just doesn't sound right. It always throws you off. We have some fond memories in this studio, and we conducted a lot of horrific things in this studio.
Yeah.
I have no sound effects here.
I remember when there was a snake back in that corner one time.
Yes, and the fart and cheer that we used when we lit Casey's fart that is always accompanying music news, that was done right here in the studio.
It was up on this table right here. We shot hot sauce into Joe's ass right over there.
Out that door.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
He got his tattoo in this room, too, so did Casey.
Casey, yeah.
Right on this counter.
Casey laid there with his legs open.
Exactly.
First few science days.
So it's kind of, nostalgic, I guess, to be in here. But listen, I want to keep things moving along because we do have Jay Leno scheduled in just a few minutes. I want to see if they can repair what needs to be repaired and we can get back in the old studio and do that. So we should do the bizarre file from 4F. Here we go. What is the deal? I'm hitting buttons.
The new bizarre file theme.
Wait, no. So is the same thing happening over here or...
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because, Case, the intro is not even up there.
I know. I'm
the bizarre file intro is not even up there. All right, let's try this again.
Wait.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'll wait until you... No. All right, let's try this. Here we go. Let's see if...
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Yeah! And it's brought to you this morning by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond, all the big name brands they have, and visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? All right, an exploding vaping pen actually killed a 38-year-old man earlier this month at his home, yes.
Like, blew into flames, right?
Well, it was a projectile.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the Pinellas County Medical Examiner confirmed the details. Firefighters had suspected it as the cause of death since first responders were dispatched to the home on a call about a fire. The guy's name was Talmadge Delia, and he was found on the home's second floor. Now, injuries to Delia's face indicated his e-cigarette exploded. It burned 80% of his body. Whoa. Two portions of the device were recovered with the cause of death stated as projectile wound of the head.
Wow. So basically like a bullet.
Yeah, it went off and went into his head.
Jeez.
The medical examiner said it was an accident, and Delia spent much of his...
It wasn't one of the features of the cigarette.
By the way, listen to this. This guy was spent a lot of his career as a TV producer with CNBC.
Yes.
And then he worked freelance in St. Petersburg. Exploding e-cigarettes and pens are extremely rare. Most explosions center around the battery, but they happen enough to cause concern at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Here's another smoking story. The expression, smoke 'em if you got 'em, was never meant to apply to people on combustion-causing oxygen. Yet a 56-year-old PA man using a nasal cannula or oxygen delivery device died of burns over the weekend after he tried to light a cigarette with the oxygen running.
Oh, my God.
So here's a guy
so stupid
with the oxygen, and he lights up a smoke.
And what's the what is he, emphysema? What is he on oxygen?
You know what? I don't know why he was, but
there's a guy who just does not understand.
He was identified as Douglas Raymond of Waymart. Raymond's attempt to light the cigarette with his nasal oxygen flowing ignited a flash fire that burned the victim's face and upper respiratory system. The flash fire melted the rubber nasal cannula device on Raymond's face, with the dripping rubber igniting a small fire on the carpet that burned out on its own. So that's messed up, man. A woman has been arrested after she was caught on video apparently pooping on the floor of a Tim Hortons. And then she's seen defecating in front of the counter following some sort of verbal confrontation with staff.
In a Tim Hortons?
And surveillance video of what happened posted on the internet then shows her throwing the feces at Tim Hortons workers before running out of the frame.
Preston, there are donuts at Tim Hortons.
The workers apparently had... I don't know what they did, but after
what can you do?
Yes. Yeah. What's your reason?
The woman.
Why did you poop and then hurl your poop at us? I think if you have a good enough reason, we'll entertain it.
The woman was set to appear at a court date later on. There's no word on exactly what prompted her actions.
So guilty with an explanation.
All right. So, cannula is the name of that thing on your freaking nose. Thank you, people. I'm seeing text. I'm like, all right. So I don't know what canola the name of that thing is. It's a canola.
Yeah.
Cannoli.
Venezuela.
A man heading to his home is lucky to be alive after he struck a deer, which ended up still alive in the backseat of his moving car.
It's Tommy Boy.
It was about 9 p.m. Sunday when Greg Winters was driving and the doe suddenly shot out from the tree line.
A doe?
Winters said that he slammed on his brakes, but with less than a second to react, the two-door Honda Civic struck the deer at about 50 miles an hour. It smashed his hood and fender and caused his passenger side airbag to deploy. And the front end was demolished, he said. The sudden impact sent the doe flying up into the air as his car continued forward. He said, I thought it was going to land behind me or to the side of me. When he heard the back window shatter a second later, he thought it was from the impact of the initial crash. But a moment later, he was stunned to realize the deer was still alive.
Whoa,
it had crashed back down and through the back window, and it was now kicking him in the back of the head from his still moving car's back seat.
That is the ultimate nightmare.
Yep.
That happened to a friend of mine. He was on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. He hit the deer, and the deer went around the right side of the car, and the ass of the deer came in the back window, and the deer crapped all over the car.
That's right. You mentioned this story. Sprayed, like projectile crap.
Yeah.
Then unpleasant.
He said, then all of a sudden I looked out of the corner of my eye and a leg and a hoof come through the middle section there and started writhing around and turned around and the deer's looking at me. Even though he had
I'm going to sue your ass off.
Even though he just struck a large animal, which is now kicking him in the head, Winters was able to pull over safely.
And laugh.
He said when he got out of the car, he was so stunned that for a minute he didn't quite know what to do. He then called for help. Incredibly, Winters was not hurt, but he believes that his car is totaled. The deer only lived for about 20 more minutes, though, before it died prior to authorities arriving. Fire officials at the scene told Winters that it's rare to see such an accident and that he is lucky that he wasn't hurt in the incident.
He sounds lucky.
Time for one more story, and then we got to take a break. Some people just always want to relive high school, and apparently 25-year-old Bouvier Gilstrap Portly.
Bouvier Gilstrap Portly?
That's a name.
Yeah, couldn't resist. The Dallas Morning News reports that Gilstrap Portly was arrested recently after he pretended to be a 17-year-old named Rashawn Richardson, and he enrolled in two high schools in the course of 3 months. He's 25.
You know what? And I don't think this guy looks particularly young.
I didn't get a chance to take a look at him.
Yeah, he looks like he's an older guy.
Upon joining Hillcrest High School in October, he joined the school's basketball team and was voted District 11-5A's Offensive Player of the Year.
That is so funny.
He reportedly told school
authorities... His wife and kids were there to watch.
That he'd been left homeless by Hurricane Harvey and came to Dallas, so he wasn't asked for the same documentation that's typically required to get into
school. So excited. My grandson and my grandchildren here to see it. This is great.
His true identity was revealed when his ex-basketball coach at another area high school saw him playing in a tournament and recognized him from many years earlier. So they busted him, and there you go. That is what they have in the Bizarre File this morning. Okay, Case, what's the status here? You know,
all right, so Jay Leno is on the phone right now.
All right.
So Jay, we had some technical difficulties. We got a break for commercial, and then come back into the new studio. We'll be with you in about 6 minutes.
Okay, we will do that.
All right,
we'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. Mr. Leno on the program. Don't go far.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
All right, it is 8:22.
Everything back to functioning parameters?
Seems like everything's working all right here. So we had to take a little field trip into the other studio, and now we're back at it with all the accoutrements of the Preston and Steve studio, including our hottie cam, which we are about to turn on. We have, from Bridgeport Speedway here this morning, Ms. Motorsports herself, Leslie Donegan. She's been an essential part of the auto racing community, representing Area Auto Racing News as an ambassador of speed. She's going to be on our cam this morning.
Very nice.
So please take a look when you get a chance, and you can go to PrestonandSteve.com and do that very thing. And speaking of racing, I'm going to skip over traffic for now, Kathy. We'll come back. Sure. Is that cool if we come back to that?
Totally fine.
Because our next guest, we appreciate his patience. He called back because we were having these issues. But he's got a show coming up at the Academy of Music on Saturday, a 90-minute show, which is going to be pretty sweet. Please welcome to the program this morning, Mr. Jay Leno.
Thank you. And I'm sorry I made that collect call. Apparently, it blew up the studio.
Yeah.
It's clearly what happened.
Do collect calls even exist anymore?
I don't know if they still have collect calls. I think they do in prison.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
We used to do the thing where it was long distance, and the other person, you didn't want to pay for it, and you would call and say a collect call. And they would say, you have a collect call from, hey, Mom, call me real quick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All that stuff. So, Jay, it's great to have you on the show. And I have to just start right out by saying, I told Preston this morning, I'm a huge fan of Jay Leno's Garage.
Okay.
The series is great. And I was watching, and it seems that you have had, you have a relationship with Paul Walker's family. And I know you have Cody Walker. You had Cody Walker on the show. And
right.
There's a charity event coming up with that family. Is that correct?
Well, that was, it's the 20th. It's this Sunday in California. You know, they called me like a week and a half ago, so we just struggled. We couldn't get any of Paul's actual cars because even though he's been gone for a number of years, and I think it's 5 years, it's everything's tied up. And, you know, when you don't leave a will, or I don't know if he left a will, but anyway, it's all tied up in litigation. You
right.
can't touch the cars. You can't move the cars. So we wanted to get a car that was similar to the one he had, the 93 Toyota Supra.
I remember that car. It had a very cool spoiler on it.
Right.
And it was a sleek car. It was, and so you managed to get one?
Yeah, we got one from a company that imports them from, to one of those Japanese domestic market only cars. So that was kind of fun. I really liked Paul. He was a nice guy. I had him on the show quite a bit, and he was one of the few car guys that could really talk cars as opposed to, you know, faking it like.
Yeah, Preston and I were talking about it, and you, I mean, you're the real deal. It's not just simply a fascination in collecting cars, and I know you have a formidable collection, but you actually can get your hands dirty and do the maintenance work on a vehicle as well.
In fact, one of the greatest museums is right here in Philadelphia, the Fred Simeon's Museum. He's got just amazing stuff.
We just had an event there. It is phenomenal what they have. But I have to assume. So what do you have? 181 cars yourself. What is the total right now?
Yeah, you sound like my wife. honey, you remember this one? It's just blue. What? No, I just painted it. It's not a different. I just painted it.
So at that level, I have to say, because like with this collection, people are fascinated. Is your collection viewable to the public at any point?
Well, no, it used to be, but then the cops shut you down because you don't have the do not drink contents with battery signs and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I mean, to open to the public is like a nightmare.
Is it?
Must drain all fluids. If anyone approaches the vehicle, there'll be no fluids in the car.
Okay.
Cars have fluids in them all the time. I mean, So although it's not open to the public, we do stuff for, you know, Make-A-Wish Foundation or veterans groups, and, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
Jay, how do you decide what car you're buying next?
Okay, that sounds like a first world problem. Yeah, really. Okay, right. Wait, we're going to talk to Jay Leno about how do you decide? It must be so hard. You know what it is? You buy the story. sometimes I had an old lady call me, I guess it's about 3 or 4 months ago. I knew she was well in her 90s because she said to me she was Marilyn Monroe's roommate before Marilyn got famous. That's got to be the 40s.
Yeah.
And she lived in Beverly Hills, and she had this 1966 four-door Lincoln Continental convertible. Remember the TV show Entourage? Remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of those. And, you know, she's the original owner. And I'm talking to her on the phone, and she says to me, she only drove it 1,000 miles a year, and she lived 3 miles from my house. So I go over to look at it, and she's showing me the car, and she told me she bought every option except FM, because FM was new in 66, and she wasn't going to pay $75 for something that's not going to be around in a couple of years.
Right, yeah. No time for FM.
Right, exactly. So it's still on the AM. So, and, you know, it's like a brand new car. I mean, it's got a couple little supermarket dings in the door, but it looks like a car that's 5 years old, not 60 years old. Wow. So I just had to buy it because I love the story. You know?
So with the stories and with the cars and so on and so forth, what advice? So maybe we don't have the Jay Leno buying a capability, but to someone who
But see, that's the thing. It's not a matter of buying expensive cars. I mean,
right.
I bought a Corvair for $600. I put $30,000 in it. It's now worth $12,500. That's better than the stock market.
No, and which your first. I love how you got into cars because I think it's something that probably doesn't exist that much unless you know in rural areas. You found like a junker, an abandoned car, and sort of piecemealed it back together. Correct? When you were kid.
When we were kids, we were about 11 or 12, and we found an old Renault 4CV. That somebody had abandoned, and we got it running, and we would drive around the backyard, and you know, my mom would look through the kitchen window to make sure we didn't kill each other. Of course, now they call child services, and the parents would be taken away, and you'd live in foster care. But back then, it was like, oh, okay, don't kill yourselves, just be careful. You know, we practice with the car, and you know,
we did the same with the motorcycle. It's, you know, the same thing. My mom was like, well, then you got that motorcycle out there, and you know, you could have died 1,000 times, but you didn't.
Well, I'll tell you something. How much it's changed. I grew up in a rural area. When I was in high school, the kids went to the hardware store, some friends of mine, and bought half a crate of dynamite and said that they were going to blow up tree stumps. They bought half sticks of dynamite, and we drove around blowing up mailboxes.
You could and buy dynamite.
And then the cops pulled us up and said, all right, give us a dynamite.
you kids there with your dynamite.
times have changed.
Yeah, that is crazy.
You can't really buy half sticks of dynamite.
No, you can't. Jay, I watch Jeopardy pretty much every night, and I love seeing you pop up. It seems like it's once a week that you're on the show with categories usually about cars. How often do you tape those?
They came over one day and said, "Will you tape a whole bunch of stuff?" I said, "Yeah, okay. We'll ask you to do some questions." So you kind of do it all in like 2 hours, and then they drop it in throughout the year sometimes.
Yeah, it's great, and it's got to be fun for you to do stuff like that. You can just kind of do it whenever you want, if you want.
You know something? I'm dyslexic, so I can't watch Jeopardy. I go, wait a minute, the question, you know what I mean? Because I turn everything, I just can't do it. That's pretty much me watching Jeopardy.
Right.
But I'd rather be an answer than a question.
You know, just doing some reading up on you before having you on the show today, and you had your book Leading with My Chin, talking about your early days in show business, and I was reminded of a story that I heard, and I don't know if this is apocryphal or not, and if it actually happened, but when you were starting in comedy, is it true you would routinely check like for open houses, go into the house and sort of live?
Well, actually, first of all, you're the first radio host to use the word apocryphal. Which is very good. You know, I think a lot of listeners go, "Johnny, get the dictionary." No, when I first got to LA, I didn't have any place to live. You know, I just got in the plane. I went there because I was living in Boston, and I said to myself, "You know, if I stay here in Boston, I'm going to want to get a nice place and a car." And I said, if I don't leave right now, I'm never going to. I just went and I just flew to L.A.
Right.
And what I would do, I would look through the papers, and then when it was an open house, like on a Sunday, you know, I'd say like noon to four. I get there quarter to four, look around, pick up a brochure, and then just go like hide in the closet. And when the realtor locked the place up, I'd live there for a couple of days.
Oh my God,
that's ingenious!
No, it worked, and I didn't destroy anything. I wasn't trying to wreck anything. Except one day, I was. It turned out to be one of the houses I was sleeping in was owned by one of the Beach Boys.
Ah.
And it was for sale, and I'm sleeping, and just the realtor comes through with a family. Here's the bed. Who are you? Oh, sorry.
Oh my God.
Were you ever busted? Were you ever arrested?
Not for that. I got picked up twice for vagrancy, but not for that.
Is it true your Hollywood star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame is one of those spots where you were picked up for vagrancy?
Yeah. Well, you know what they used to do is if the cops saw you like five times in a night, they go, all right, get in the back. And they put in your back of a police car. And then they just drive you around for their whole shift. And then they'd let you out at dawn. And, you know, look, they were nice guys. I wasn't drunk. I wasn't a crazy person. I would tell the cops jokes and, you know, which actually backfired because the next time I got there, hey, you're the guy with the joke. I get in the back.
They were getting a free show.
Yeah.
What's the joke about this? Oh, yeah. And then you tell the cops, you know, the joke, and they'd laugh. They were actually very nice to me. In fact, when I got my walk on Hollywood Fame, a couple of the cops arrested me.
Oh, that's wild.
That's great. That's great. By the way, Jay Leno is going to be appearing at the Academy of Music on Saturday. Jay, did you spend some of your earlier stand-up days playing in Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah. There used to be a club called Grandma Minnie's. There used to be a Comedy Works.
Did you play David Brenner's place back when that was around?
There was a guy named Jimmy Kyun. Do you remember him?
Yes, I do. Yeah, he was like, was he like a Korean comic?
No. He was, I think he was Middle Eastern. I think he's in, is he in jail? I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right, so then I don't know.
Yeah. But it was just very unusual.
Right, right.
It was just interesting. I remember it was a comedy club with a circular staircase, and it said scene 45, and there were 380 people in there.
So
when I worked there, the guy said to me, we're going to keep the window open behind the stage in case there's a fire. Just go out the window. I said, okay, thanks.
Those stories are great. I mean, and you know, and those early days, because I remember when you came on the scene, your stand up, you know, was just to me, it was just massively impressive and hilarious.
Oh, thanks.
And always sharp. But when you started out and you were doing, and I don't know if this is correct, but when you started doing gigs at the Comedy Store, did you end up having to follow Pryor pretty frequently?
No, I used to love to follow Pryor because, you know, something. Comedians are inherently pretty lazy. We tend to just go where we know the laugh is.
Right.
And I would watch Richie Gavin. It was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, he would literally blow out the room. And I thought, well, I asked Mitzi, could I go on after Richie if we wanted to? But I figured that's the only way you're going to get better.
Yeah.
And I realized I didn't have an hour's worth of material. And I had about maybe 16 minutes of stuff that really worked. You know, if the audience is really laughing and you're just jumping in on the laugh, and so, but to get to the real core of it, and it really helped me hone the craft, as they say, because you got to find out what really worked. Instead of trying to find a sympathetic audience, find the hardest audience you can play and see if the stuff works. Go ahead.
I mentioned Short recently passed away, and she was... She was integral to a lot of comedians' careers. Oh, yeah. What are your memories of her?
Oh, yeah. No, it was terrific when we started. You know, the problem was she was like everybody's comedy mom.
Yeah.
And when you were starting out, it was great. And as you sort of grew and you got off on your own, she tended to be a little sort of matriarchal. You know, you should be doing it. That's not what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
She couldn't let go, you know? And that was kind of the problem. I mean, it was really wonderful when we started, but, you know, like any sort of rebellious person, as most comedians tend to be, they don't want to be told what to do. And I think there was a lot of things like that happened. I mean, it was an interesting time. You know, Mitzi, that's when all the comedians went on strike, you know, and they wanted to get $25 a set. And Mitzi said, nobody, this is a college, you're here to learn. And everybody thought, well, you're making a lot of money. I mean, can't we at least get a sandwich out of it? You know, it was one. And I don't think it wasn't that Mitzi was greedy. It's just that she had this personal relationship. So it was tricky. It was interesting.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful time. I mean, it was me and Letterman and Robin Williams and all the guys. I mean, it was, you know, it's so funny. I watched this. I seen this show. I'm Dying Up Here on.
Right.
And although it's a good show, it's not really accurate to me because everybody in it is depressed and miserable. I mean, when we were young comics on, it was great. We all cheered one another on. When I did my first Tonight Show, Robin Williams and everybody came and said, in fact, if you watch the tape, you can hear, you hear Robin's goofy laugh in the back. You know, and when he did the show, I went. And we all supported one another. I mean, obviously there are petty jealousies and stuff that go on, but not to any great extent. You know, I always tell young comedians, you'll always get more work from other comedians than you'll ever get from an agent or somebody like that. I mean, Steve Martin brought Johnny in to see me. Harvey Korman brought Johnny in to see me.
Wow.
You know, I brought Johnny in to see Ellen DeGeneres. I mean, and, you know, we all kind of help one another. I think it's still the case today. I mean, most comics, you can't do every gig every day. You know, there's plenty of work for everybody, you know, so comics do tend to support one another. I mean, there are some exceptions, obviously, but for the most part, it's a great business. It's fun. Yeah.
Well, speaking of a simpler time, Jay, I just wanted to give you an update. Jimmy Tyune passed away last year, and he went to prison about 25 years ago for racketeering. So he didn't know the comedy works. You were correct about that. He was a local politician, but rest in peace, Jimmy Tyune.
You know something? I used to those guys used to make me laugh. You know, see, I'm still young enough to remember. I did clubs when they were run by the mob.
They
were run by like the Marriott Corporation. You know, but then they were run by the mob. And I remember I played a place in Jersey. I'm not even going to say the name of it, but these two guys come up to me and they go, "Hey, Jay, how you doing? I'm Anthony. This is my brother Tony." "And you're Anthony?" "My brother Tony." And he said, "So we do collections for the boss, and we know that you're Italian, and we're Italian. And, you know, sometimes funny things happen to us when we're doing collections. And we thought maybe if we told you one of our funny stories, you would incorporate it in your comedy routine." I said, "Sure, Anthony and Tony, what's a funny story?" They tell me, "Okay, we go to this guy's got some kind of machine shop. You know, he owes $10,000. He doesn't want to pay." And I said, "You got to pay." He says, "I'm not paying." He says, "You got to pay." He turns his back to me. So I take a screwdriver. Boom, I stick the screwdriver on top of his head. You know, it goes right into his head. And he turns around. He grabs me by the throat. I take my gun. Boom. I blew the screwdriver right out the top of his head.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He goes, "Is that something you can?" I said, "You know, that's a great story for Ellen."
That's a great story for Ellen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that is funny. There was years ago I did stand up as well, and there I played in one, I think it must have been one of those last, you know, mob owned comedy places, and it was that kind of vibe, you know, but
it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's very, very funny. So I wanted to ask you, because I think a lot of people, you know, obviously from the Tonight Show and everything, but you have, they're familiar with your stand-up, maybe some are strictly on a level of a monologist doing, you know, the beginning of the show, not really understanding that you have a vast comedy career before that. Do you find that that's kind of an eye-opener for people when they come and see you?
Well, sometimes, you know, sometimes people go, "Oh, we thought you were going to bring a chair and desk out and, like, interview people." No.
Yeah.
But you know what's so funny? It's like, it just makes me laugh. I mean, at the Academy of Music, it makes it sound very pretentious, you know, because somebody said to me the other day, they asked me, "Well, how do you like?" I was in Wilmington, North Carolina. It was a nice theater. And they said, "How do you like the lights?" You know, and I said, "Whatever lights you got are fun." Because, you know, I used to play strip clubs. And this is a classic example of bad lighting. There was a strip club outside Atlanta called the Mine Shaft that I worked. And the gimmick to the club was the club had no lights. When guys came in, they paid $5 to get in, and then they paid $10 to get a miner's hat with a light on.
Oh, my God. That's great.
So the miner's hat was the only light in the club. So I would just be standing completely in the dark, and it'd be like a naked woman maybe 5 feet to my right. and because every light would be on her. You know, I'd just be in the dark, you know, and when somebody looked at me, it was like a Harley headlight. How deep, you know, it'd just be these stupid miners' hats with lights on them. So people go, how are the lights? They go, fine. Are they stationary? Fine. It's fine.
That is hilarious. Oh, man. What was the name of the place again? The mine shaft.
I would have to, if I was on stage, I would have to be pointing and look over to your right, ladies and gentlemen, just to watch all the lights pan over.
Oh yeah,
while you're up, just entertain yourself.
Yeah, and of course, then they'd just be guys looking for the men's room, whatever else. So the lights are just all over the place. It was like the stupidest place. Oh, it's hilarious.
You can't make that up. That's hilarious.
Oh no, hilarious.
So you're in Philadelphia right now. Are you Are you doing a spot at QVC today?
I am doing a spot at QVC. You know, I've been doing these Jay Leno car care products. This is stuff we developed in my garage. I realize the best thing to do is just take a check from a big company, but it's more fun to kind of come up with the stuff yourself. So I'm really proud of the product. It's doing really well, actually. We did QVC like a month ago, and we sold out, and it went great. So they asked me backing it.
What is the specific product, Jay?
Well, there's tire dressing, there's a detailer, there's polish. You know, the idea behind it was I make my money doing comedy, so we keep the profit margin as thin as possible
right,
to get the highest quality product for the same price. And it seems to be paying off. You know, it's interesting. When we came out with it, I expected all kinds of snarky comments. Oh, Jay Leno, some stupid product. But actually, you know, it's actually really good. People have been, the comments are really good. Everybody seems to like
it. Well, they know you're the real deal when it comes to the car stuff. You have vast amounts of cred. I just have to bring up one other thing, too, because we all watched when you went on that ride with the stunt driver. Is it Bob Riggles his name?
Oh, Bob Riggles. Yeah. He wasn't a stunt driver. He races what they call the Hemi under glass.
Hemi under glass. I used to build the models as a kid of the Hemi under glass.
Right, right, right.
And
put an M80 in it. And roll it.
Stick of dynamite. But how many times did you flip over in that car when he took that turn?
A couple of times. I'm not really sure how many times it is. It looks a lot worse than it was when it happened, but. It was great for ratings. People love it anytime they think you're going to get killed.
Yeah, it's really good for ratings.
I had the thrill of riding shotgun with Jimmy Johnson a couple of weeks ago up at Pocono Raceway, and
cool.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. Are there any thrill rides you've taken that stand out in your mind that you've had the opportunity, or would you rather be behind the wheel yourself, or do you mind letting a pro take over like that?
Well, either one. I mean, about last week on our show. We, all these companies say that cars go 200 miles an hour, but most really don't. They go 189, 191. So we went to Chevrolet and they said, give us a completely stock VR1 Corvette. You claim it'll do over 200. Let's see how it does. And we went 204 miles an hour, 50 miles. It was rock steady the whole way. It was very impressive.
Where do you stand on, because now you have these, the electric cars are getting insane acceleration and are you a purist on it has to be a combustion engine or
no I mean to me, look, racers especially just want to go fast. You got something that goes faster, that's fine. It's so funny, it's like when one of the companies come out with that semi truck that you see that's all aerodynamic, all the truckers laughed at it until it got like 16 miles a gallon instead of 9,
right?
And then they all went crazy for it. So no, you can't stop technology. You can't stop progress. I think it's fascinating. I mean, if you like piston engines, you'll always have those. But, I've got a Tesla, and that thing is pretty bulletproof. It's never been to the dealer. The engine never wears out. There's nothing. There's no fluids to change. I mean, that's pretty much what the future is going to be. It's always been limited by battery technology. I've got a 1909 Baker electric car that goes 80 miles on a charge.
Wow.
That shows you the batteries really didn't change much from the 1800s, 1900s up until now. But now you've got lithium ion and all this kind of stuff. So it's that's the future.
Wow. That's amazing. Do you have anything steam powered? Do you ever go that far back?
Yeah, I got a lot of steam powered cars. I love steam powered cars.
I saw one on Jeopardy.
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you go online, you can see my Stanley Steamer blow up in my face.
I believe it. It means ratings, right?
Yeah.
You're going to die. Yeah.
In fact, I have the oldest car ever stopped for speeding on the 405 freeway. I had my 1906 Stanley steamer. It got stopped at 78 miles an hour. It's made of wood and it's on fire. And it says in the manual, should the car catch fire, shut off the fuel and open the throttle to increase speed to blow fire out. things are not really you wouldn't see today.
Wow.
How do I get the fire out of the car does not appear in the owner's manual, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Wow. Oh, yeah, people are expected to do things. I've got a 1938 Vincent motorcycle, and it says, after 1,000 miles, disassemble engine, check everything, reassemble.
Yeah. That's out of the skill set of most people.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is what people did before Netflix. They fixed stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jay, we appreciate your time and just reminding people that that Jay's going to be at the Academy of Music on Saturday. 90-minute show. Tickets available at KimmelCenter.org. And on today, on QVC, selling some pretty badass automotive products, which is cool.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Listen, wonderful to talk to you. We're huge fans, and all the best to you, okay, Jay?
Yeah, that's a great story for Ellen. I'll see you guys later.
All right, man. We'll see you later. Jay Leno, guys.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's cool. Yeah, he's very cool.
Guy's got some stories, man.
I mean, that many years in show business?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think about his run on The Tonight Show was, you know, incredibly successful. He retired when he wanted to, and he's just enjoying himself, and he does comedy when he wants to.
Let me get this figure up here, Preston, because it's
he made so much money.
Yeah. So what is this? I shot it. Estimated worth. I think this is from Forbes. $350 million.
Yikes! God, did you ever see? And you know, and he and obviously he and Seinfeld are both insane car collectors.
He's Porsche, right? Seinfeld mostly.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think Leno leans a lot towards American cars, but he'll do anything. There was an ad campaign where they were rivals against each other. I don't know if you remember.
I don't remember
that. Leno. it was great, and they played off of their car fascination.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Case, how much time do you think we're going to have before our guest gets here?
I think
five minutes?
About 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Maybe four.
Okay.
All right. Origins of the Universe?
No. Did I had something interesting to talk about, but we'll move that along because he'll be up here shortly. But
we don't want to be too interesting.
No. Well, there's a couple of things I want to mention, and that's why we have to find the proper window to do that because we have a bunch of guests that are going to be on the program. A few events this weekend. Obviously, MMO Barbecue. Huge event, and that is taking place on Saturday. But before that, there's a charity event, and both Nick and Casey are participating in this.
Yeah, it's Big Climb Philly. Thank you, Preston. It's this Saturday morning. There are still spots available for Team Luke, which is the team that I'm a part of. My nephew Luke, if you've not heard before, has leukemia, and this benefits the PA Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. We are really close to meeting our goal. So we're looking for volunteers. We're looking for participants, climbers. And basically, we're climbing the FMC Tower. It's 46 flights. It's about 1,000 steps. Casey and I are hoping to do it in under an hour and a half. No, we probably take about 20, 25 minutes or so. But it's going to be a really fun day, and we'd love for you to participate. If you can participate this Saturday morning, I totally understand everybody's busy, but we are accepting financial donations, and that information is up on PrestonandSteve.com.
So
it's called the Big Climb Philly, and it starts this Saturday morning.
Kim Sklar, who works down the hall, she is doing the climb with us, and she's been practicing. So she's been doing, you know, she'll go down to the basement, walk up to the top, sixth floor, and then take the elevator down, and, you know, and she's
very
like,
cool.
She's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
She's going
to
do it.
I did 36 floors yesterday, and I'm like, oh, my God, I've done no floors, no days, so you're going to be fine.
Well, we had that lady Sally on a week or so ago, and she said that she's expecting to do it all 46 floors in under 10 minutes. My brother, Adam, has it's his son, Luke, who has leukemia. He practiced and did 13 flights, and it took him like 20 minutes. So,
whoa.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a wide variety, but the climbers are staggered.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. And, no. and he did it, and so it really should be a fun day. So we'd absolutely love to have you be a part of it.
And real quick, it starts at what time? Because I have to do an early one. So my son has a baseball game at 10. So.
Our climb is at around 9 or 9:15, but the event itself starts at 8 a.m.
Okay. All right, and then obviously we have the MM barbecue that day, and then the next morning I'm going to be at the ballpark for the Take Steps Crohn's and Colitis Walk for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. And you can get details on PrestonandSteve.com for that as well. So we're busy, busy people with entertainment and good causes all weekend long. So make sure that you join us for some of that if you can. If not, join it for all of it. You can do the whole deal this weekend. And by the way, there's a ticket raid for the MMRBQ tonight at Maggie's Waterfront Cafe. And that's from 8 to 10. And we're going to be giving away tickets every 10 minutes. You can have some $2 Bud and Bud Light pints and all that stuff and get yourself set to maybe win some last-minute tickets. And that's one of the last ones we're going to have.
I believe it is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There might be another one tomorrow.
I got one tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, okay. I'm at French Creek Outfitters. That's tomorrow night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So everybody's out and about. But the best source for all this information, WMMR.com, PrestonandSteve.com.
All right, excellent. And let me see here. We're ready to welcome our next
guest. Do it.
Yes. I'm very, very happy to do this. I saw the trailer for this movie a week or two ago, and I immediately went to you guys. I'm like, have you seen this yet?
Oh, yeah.
And we're pretty excited about the fact that there's a screening tonight, and not only a meet and greet with our next guest, who I believe we've had here before.
We have early on in the career. It was actually at another location.
We're talking about the film Upgrade, and we'd like to welcome the writer and director of said film, Mr. Lee Whannell.
Yes! Yes. Yes.
Well, it's a song called Lee, so... Welcome
Thanks
back.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
After all these years.
Yes.
I think it was for you and James Wan in the studio for Saw, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was the first Saw film. We didn't know what we were doing in any regard, in any aspect of our lives. So that was fun. I was a lot younger then, and I remember on that press tour, I wasn't sleeping a lot.
Yeah.
There was a lot of alcohol involved. Now
was
I'm
there?
Too old for that. I'd be doing this interview from the hospital if I was
at that base,
acting like I did back then on this tour.
Yeah. But you guys, look at you! Look what's happened over the years. It's James is directing just did the Aquaman movie, I believe.
Yeah, he did. He did Fast and Furious 7,
Conjuring.
Like, yeah,
you guys with Insidious together. You've written this is your second directorial effort. Insidious 3 was your first.
Yep.
An Upgrade, which looks phenomenal. And to me and to all of us, it has the feel of the joy when we first saw RoboCop or the original Terminator or that kind of, you know, sort of practical effects, but enhanced people.
Those were my influences. Those,
oh, were they?
All those films that I grew up with in the 80s. Do you guys remember the 80s?
Yes, we do. Barely. Oh,
if you remember them, you weren't there. My local video store was my church, and I used to go there and rent the Terminator, RoboCop, Scanners, The Thing, all this sort of practical effects-driven stuff. And I wanted to use those films as an inspiration for this one because I was making a sci-fi film that was not a big-budget sci-fi film. You know, didn't have a huge amount of money to play with.
Those can be, because of the constraints, the best, because they foster a creativity that I like. I like the mix. Listen, we live in a CGI world. I get it.
Yeah.
But I love the mix of practical with CGI. I love the blend of both because
absolutely.
To me, it's more interesting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great tool. It's like you can use it to augment things that aren't there, but it shouldn't be the only tool. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, like in the movies, for example, Starship Troopers, the movie uses CGI effects for the monsters, but the ships are all real.
Yeah.
And they look cool. So in this case, you have Logan Marshall Green is the actor, and he's who we remember from Prometheus. A very solid actor. He's a quadriplegic. His wife gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also another one of my favorite genres of films, revenge film.
Yeah.
Right. So it incorporates all those things.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to make a classic revenge action film, but wrap it up in this sci-fi story, you know?
Which is cool. And as I was just talking to our video guy, Nick, here about it. Logan appears to, in the movie, he gets this enhancement as a quadriplegic that sort of controls his body, and right. he's almost a passenger in his own body, correct?
Yeah, there is a moment in the movie, I'm not spoiling anything because it's in the trailer, but mm-hmm. Somebody is beating the doot out of
yeah,
him,
yeah.
and Stem, which is the name of the computer chip that's in his neck that controls his body, is like, you know, can I take over?
Right.
And he's like, sure, as this guy chucks him. And then Stem just comes online and sort of, because this computer chip controls everything from the neck down, it can make him do.
Well, he's just sitting there. He knows there. Kung Fu all of a sudden.
Yeah, all of a sudden he's like just watching himself do all these things that he can't believe he's doing. So it's kind of...
How did you instruct him to get to that physicality? Because I remember, like, with the Peter Weller who played RoboCop, he went to, and mimes taught him stuff. But here he's got to look as if he's like responding to his own body, but it's not his body.
Yeah, I mean, he was amazing, and that was the first thing I told him when I spoke to him on the phone for the first time. Is I said, I want your head to be doing something different than your body
right.
in certain sections of this movie, and he was so up for it, and. So basically how he achieved it is Logan really did a lot of training. He would send me all these videos of him moving, and I would send him my thoughts and say, you know, less robot dancing, more just move with the fluidity and grace of a ballet dancer.
Right. Uh-huh.
So he was doing that. And then right at the end before we shot the film, the cinematographer said to me, you know, I did this music video last year where we locked the camera to the actor. We strapped an iPhone under their clothes to their body so that wherever they moved, the camera goes with them. Kind of gives you this interesting kind of effect where the actor is the center of gravity at all times.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Wherever the actor goes, the camera goes.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this looks awesome. Let's try it. And so we used that for a lot of the action scenes in the film, and it kind of contributes to this computerized robotic feeling.
Now, it's taking place, appears to be a bit in the future.
Yeah, it's not too far in the future. It's like, you know, 15 years from now.
So some of the people he's coming up against also have enhancements of their own.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a world. I mean, we're sort of heading down this path anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I wrote the first draft of this film, automated cars were still science fiction.
Yeah.
And now in the years that it's taken to develop this movie and get it made, that's just become a thing now.
Did you see the video of the latest Boston Dynamics robot?
That's terrifying.
It is. Thank you.
It's effing terrifying. Bomb shelter.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone who's a fan of sci-fi, if you're not terrified by that, but, you know, that's where we're going.
I keep waiting for that moment when my daughter thinks it's perfectly normal to walk into the kitchen in the morning and be like, Alexa, play the Frozen soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
She just thinks it's normal that this voice is like, playing the Frozen soundtrack.
Yeah.
But I keep waiting for that moment where it's just, Alexa just flips and is like, all humans must die.
Right. By the way, speaking of Alexa, did you know that, like, she takes a log of everything that you ask her? And if you go to your app, you can actually go back in time and see everything that you've ever asked her, which... for me is hilarious because my mom lives with me now. And...
so you can see what your mom's in?
Oh,
wait. God, does your mom live with you or do you live with your
no,
mom?
No, no. My mom lives with me and my family. Okay, yeah, okay. It's different. So it's more acceptable. But she's, you know, 70-year-old woman and she the things that she has to ask her.
That's so funny.
And, you know, just sitting in the kitchen, she didn't realize that she had to, like, say her name every time she needed a command. So she'd be like, shut up.
Stop.
Shut up.
Well, you know, I don't know what I said to alert Alexa, but she laughed when we were all in my kitchen and we were laughing.
That's
and
terrifying.
I thought, oh, my God, somebody came through my back door and turned around and realized it was her.
I read about this. So you're an actual living case of... because I read about this online that Alexa was just laughing. It'd be 3 o'clock in the morning and Alexa's like...
yeah.
You're like, that's not scary. Not at all.
It's an anomalous thing that even Amazon had to do a little digging to find out why it was happening.
I think it's some, like, sort of pranky coder somewhere.
It's
in Silicon Valley. Like, this will really mess him up.
Because we were laughing. So she was laughing with us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But this speaks to that.
Judgment Day begins.
And Skynet and the whole thing.
Skynet's on just going online.
Just gone online. But this speaks to that. Now, our inherent fascination with, can we enhance ourselves? Preston was talking about the line that Jeff Goldblum has in Jurassic Park, which is...
yeah, you worried about whether or not you could. You didn't think... whether or not you should.
Yeah.
I that line always reminds me of Patton Oswalt, the comedian, has this routine where he's like, we just made cancer airborne and contagious. You're welcome. We're science.
Yeah.
like, more concerned with coulda instead of shoulda.
I think
that is the case with humans. We're so often the architects of our own destruction. We're like, I just built this thing that blows up and takes out an entire city. That'd be good to have around.
And so I'm
wondering where this whole road is going of delegating everything to computers. Like, well, computers can drive my car for me and they can run my kitchen. And they can love my kids. Like, where does it?
Right. Well, you know, well, and to that point, that's why you had people like Tesla.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk is not a tremendous fan, even though the automated cars, he's responsible for a tremendous advance in that. He's very leery of AI, as was Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
And this deal, because of what eventually it could be. I don't know if you're a fan of the series Black Mirror.
Yep.
But there was a metalhead, I think it, I think it was called. But it realizes a world in which it does get away from us. And, I mean, that is a stone-cold chilling possibility.
I know. It's weird because, you know, Elon Musk, he's been saying, like, you know, the biggest threat to humanity is AI, you know, bigger threat than North Korea, et cetera. And at first you're like, oh, come on, what movies have you been watching? And then you're like, wait, that's Elon Musk. He's a pretty smart guy.
He
knows some things we don't.
Yeah.
So maybe we should be more worried about it if he is.
Yeah, to that end, though, I watched this TED Talk yesterday, and the guy that was speaking said, you know, if every insect on the planet died, within 50 years, all life on the planet would cease to exist. If every human on the planet died, all life would return to the planet and flourish, right? So there's this
would thrive.
Would thrive, right. Every other life form would thrive on the
Not
planet.
Not a fan of that arrangement.
but it's probably accurate. Yeah. However, what humanity has going for it is imagination and creativity. And so to that end, there are stories like yours that can be told. And I think that therein lies the beauty of what you do.
Yeah. I always love that line from The Matrix. The Hugo Weaving character is like, that he says that machines figured out that humans were the cancer on the planet.
Yes.
That's right. Mr. Anderson. That's my best Hugo Weaving in
it's
the Matrix.
Very good. It's very good.
Okay, sorry.
You had a bit part in the original Matrix or Matrix Reloaded?
It was the sequel.
Okay.
It was the second one, which I was very excited about. I got two lines, which was cut down to one. I was shattered. They actually spelled my name wrong in the credits,
Damn it.
I was like, they never cared. They didn't care at all.
What was your line in the movie?
It was, how much time?
Wow. That's good. Yes.
And then guys, come on. In terms of delivery of that line, that's awesome. One of the better deliveries of that line.
Oscar caliber.
The guy I was with, his response was 12 minutes. So it was wonderful.
Wow. Oh. You delivered both lines quite well.
Yeah, you know, I could have played that role. But
what line
did
they cut out?
I think they cut out incoming. And I remember the American dialogue coach, because it was shot in Australia with all these Australian actors doing American accents, and they had this sort of American for hire on set who would correct you on your R's. And she said, you know, Americans don't say incoming. We put the emphasis on in. And I was like, no, you're wrong. No, I've seen enough movies. I know more than you do, American person.
You were right. No, we do not. Some people say insurance, but they won't say incoming.
Like if you're out in the war zone and the grenade's coming towards you, you're not saying incoming, guys, incoming. Yeah. No, that's not going to get the message across to Sergeant Stevenson.
Exactly.
Incoming! That's how you say it.
That's why you do what you do. When you and James Wan started working together, was that as a reaction to sort of, you know, as you as an actor trying to get a leg up, we'll just create our own stuff?
Pretty much. That was exactly it. He wanted to be a director and quickly found out after film school that people don't go around handing checks to film directors.
Yeah.
And we just were so frustrated that and this is the advice I always give aspiring filmmakers when they're like, oh, do you have any advice? I say, just make your own stuff. Just get a camera, get some friends and make stuff.
Yeah. You know? Well, how much did Saw cost?
Well, the producers tried to tell us at the time it was $1 million, but looking back, I think it was about $28.
It does look, it is, but it's a perfect movie for those, and I always say, you know, we talk, Frank Grillo's a friend of the show, and the Purge movies, high concept, low cost, if it hits, as Saw hit, you're the darling.
And the horror genre is really
perfect,
friendly towards low budgets.
Yeah.
Audiences, anyone.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, because I want to stay on Saw for a second.
Yeah.
It could be a stage production.
Yeah. It could. I mean, it's two guys chained up in a toilet, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I think the Broadway version of Saw is a good idea. In fact, this
with
is the
Nathan
first
Lane.
Time it's been floated. Yeah, exactly.
Nathan Lane
is Jigsaw. I want to see the actor that has to lie still on the floor for the entire production.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Jesus, I really had to sneeze during that one. Well, I broke two ribs trying not to sneeze during that run.
Actually, that could work. I mean, you have certainly a level of gore that you have to achieve.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, although it can be, I saw this play years ago called The Lieutenant of Inishmore. It was written by the guy who directed Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Martin McDonagh. And he's this great Irish playwright, but this play is so bloody and violent. There was, at the intermission, half the audience just left. So it is possible.
Okay. All right. So with this film, and the reaction has been great. Actually, I was reading one review of it, and it's from one of the genre mags, says, latest film upgrade is one of the most strikingly invigorated sci-fi watches. I've been awestruck by this film, and that has not happened in quite some times. And the reaction is like that. For you, for your second film, writing and directing, is that a double-edged sword? Because it's awesome, the reactions like that, but it always with what you do in your career, it's what's next?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to try to enjoy reactions like that because films take so long to make. That
right.
Whenever I hear a filmmaker in an interview say, like, I just ignore the reviews, I don't understand that because, you know, you're putting so much of yourself into the film. You want to know how right. the world feels about it. But that review was... I remember that one. It was particularly great. And I remember my dad, I flew him over to we premiered the film at South by Southwest. So I was like, Dad, you're coming to Texas. Flew him over from Australia. And I read him that review and he goes, oh, that's great. Must have taken you ages to write it. which is just my dad's sense of humor. But that was one of the first reviews I read. And yeah, it's
what
good.
You want.
So I don't want to kind of start thinking about what's next straight away. I want to kind of enjoy this movie. I mean, even just being here chatting to you guys, it's fun. It's fun to try to promote the movie, you know?
Sure.
If you're just jumping in, Lee Winnell is here, and Upgrade is going to be in theaters June 1st. There's a screening tonight, 7 o'clock pre-show meet and greet with Lee, and we'll do some ticket giveaways in a little while. Speaking of writing, when you sit down to create something original... how do you make sure that somebody hasn't already done that and you don't know about it? There are so many people that write.
Usually what happens is somebody will tell you. You'll get really excited about an idea and you'll pitch it to one of your friends and they'll say, yeah, I saw that movie last year. That was.
You have to worry about that because I know I read an interview with you and you talked about your ability to shut off your director-writer and just enjoy movies on their visceral level and go in and be a fan and be in the audience and watch a movie and
absolutely.
Enjoy it. But with that, and I think with anything, like Preston, you know, a musician or anything, have I heard this before?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be the same thing with music where somebody's like, oh, yeah, great riff. I loved it back in 73 when
sure. ABBA played it.
Yeah, when ABBA did it. And it's with, you know, the worst thing with movies is actually when you put all the work in and you're shooting the film. So the train has left the station. You are doing it. And then you hear about a similar film coming out. Nobody wants to be on the set of Deep Impact when you find out Armageddon's coming out. It's like, oh, Jesus.
It has happened. True. In fact, one of the classic stories is two movie studios. One was working on a movie called The Tower. And the other one was working on a movie called The Glass Inferno. And that 20th Century Fox, the Warner Brothers said, well, let's just make a movie together.
Is that true? They actually combined.
The Towering Inferno is a combination of two movie projects.
That is the only example I've ever heard of two Hollywood studios being like, let's just be friends and work together. Usually it's like, let's ruthlessly cut the knees out from this Glass Inferno movie.
let's just destroy it.
And you remember back in the 80s, Lee, like there was like a series of body switching movies of young and old. Yeah. And there were like four of them. And the last one that came out was Big from Tom Hanks. And it was the most successful.
And that's the only one. Like, nobody's walking around going, you know, that Vice Versa movie was really just love Judge Reinhold.
Yeah.
It was like Big's. That usually history, you know, history's written by the winners, right? So Big is the one that everybody talks about. And, you know, it's like not too many people are walking around talking about Ants. A Bug's Life was the victor. Yeah, yeah. It was the victor in that little battle.
And Ants had Seinfeld behind it, didn't it?
That was the B-movie.
That's right. So nobody remembers that as well. Look at that. This perfect example.
Wait, was Fred Savage in the Judge Reinhold one?
Yes.
Okay, he was. All right,
And then there was a couple more.
Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron.
Oh, yeah, that was the Kirk Cameron one before he started his other movie career.
Yeah. Lee, is it... you're on social media, obviously. You know, I'm looking at your Twitter account right now, and I'm wondering if that is can be landmines when it comes to creativity, because I'm sure people tweet stuff at you, mm-hmm. hey, I've got this great idea, and you basically have to ignore it and not even acknowledge it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it can really get you in trouble, and it's actually a dangerous thing, especially now with social media, because everybody's making videos, putting them on YouTube, and the sort of bandwidth for did you see that or not. Like, if you wanted to present that case in court, you could say, hey, I made a short film and this guy totally ripped it off. And
just happened with Stranger Things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same thing. And now, chronologically, I think the Duffer Brothers are the guys behind that or whatever.
Yeah,
they were able to prove chronologically that they had submitted an idea that was before this.
Somebody said that somebody ripped off their script.
Yes. Yeah. And
so it had to go to court. It had to be litigated.
But I think they didn't make it all the way. But still, that presents a legal cost and things.
I mean, I do actually say that sometimes if someone says on Twitter, like, can you read my script? I'm like, it's a good way of saying I can't. I literally can't read your script, just in case.
It can be a bad deal. Yeah, absolutely. So with obviously, you know, the Insidious films, which are great and continue to be so. Where does this franchise keep going and going and going? Because it is, you know, I think the first couple are the best. You know. Whether we love Lin Shaye.
We've
had her in the studio. Here. She's phenomenal.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's really the reason they work.
Yeah, she is. She, at this point, she's the glue that kind of holds that franchise together. I mean, it's interesting with sequels, because I obviously wrote that first Saw movie, and then the producers made, like, I think 32 more Saw movies. And at some point, the third one was the last one I was involved with. And I was like, you know, guys, I'm out. I can't think up any more ways to kill someone with a coat hanger. And so they kept going. So it's a weird feeling, because I don't actually own the copyright to Saw, but the producers kept making
that
movies.
That kind of stinks.
So, yeah, it was...
Is it like watching your Dr. Frankenstein and your monster is out, has left the lab?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a weird feeling to be like driving down the street and see a billboard for something you created, but it's no longer...
Yours.
Yeah. Yours. Yeah. It's gone. So, but I'm not ticked off about it, because I'm just happy to be making films at all. That's the very definition of a champagne problem. Like, can you believe they're making sequels to my hit film? I mean, you think they've got a bad in Syria. So I definitely know to keep my head in line with
keep
that stuff.
Keep it in perspective,
but with the Insidious movies, I think I have a better relationship with Jason Blum, in terms of he would always come to me first and say, do you want to make another one? You
know? I and this is no offense, I can't watch those movies. They terrify me too much.
In the horror world, that's a compliment.
Yeah, it is.
Preston would be in that world as well. I'm ravenous for them. I love them, and I think that first Insidious, especially because the combination of you and James, the directing skill. Yeah. When you take things, I think it's one of the great aspects of horror, and you stick them in, so you have a scene that's in broad daylight in a living room.
Yeah.
Which is one of the biggest scares in the movie.
Yeah.
But it's as with that Texas Chainsaw Massacre, with that first scene of Leatherface, it's in broad daylight in a pleasant, breezy sort of afternoon. That just that throws you on your ass. And so you're obviously a fan of that kind of...
Oh, yeah.
This
I mean,
is not a place where you encounter this.
I think you always have to consider, okay, what haven't we seen before? So with that particular scare you're talking about, I was thinking, let's do something in broad daylight so the audience won't be waiting for it. Because it's audiences these days, they're pretty savvy. They can sort of outthink you. So you have to be thinking five moves ahead, like, to stop them from predicting what you're going to do.
And as horror fans, we appreciate that effort.
Yeah.
Well, I have some passes to the screening that's going on tonight of Upgrade, and this is at the Ritz at the Boers, and I can take 10 callers, 215-263-WMMR. The film is at 7, but Lee is going to be there, and I guess, are you doing a Q&A?
I think so. I'll stand wherever they want me to stand.
Okay.
I'm a prop.
Not in front of the screen, though.
And that's
exactly.
That's at 5:45, so if you'd like the full experience, get there a little bit on the early side and check the whole thing out. So 215-263-WMMR will take 10 callers, and we will give you passes to the movie. It opens on June 1st, and I was in from the... Like, I saw the trailer, and I'm this is speaking to me.
Badass, exactly right.
It looks fantastic.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. It's great to see you again, and continue success, sir. We appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.
Lee Whannell, guys. Yeah. We'll take a break, come back in a second, and we're going to have David Blaine on the show and adult film star Katie Morgan. You can stick around if you want to. There's more than one.
Sure.
We'll
be back. For David Blaine, yes.
Just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR announces the next installment of our series of fan-friendly, private, and free concerts. Wednesday, June 6th, it's Pierre Presents Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. I'm gonna leave it all. Join us for this invitation-only noontime event at Ardmore Music Hall. Son of a bitch! Give me a drink! Win your way in, on the air with Pierre, or at ticket rates. Get details and schedule at WMMR.com. Pierre presents Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats from Ardmore Music Hall and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Our next guest is making her annual trip into Philadelphia, and she will be appearing at Club Biscay tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. And I'll give you the official locations in a moment. We would like to welcome adult film star and avid turtle mother, Katie Morgan. Yeah. Our program. We spent a lot of time talking about your turtles last time you were here.
We did, and how they eat pigeons.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how they crazy. Live in your
just
pool.
Just the one. Yeah. Well, I mean, now there's six in the pool, but that's because two of the other ones escaped and they moved to the pool.
And they, you know what? And here, so some friends of mine, their kids had a pet turtle, like a red-eared slider or something sure. like that. And the stereotype is that turtles are very slow. They can get away and they can run away from you. And
yes.
You, and they will take off.
So, and that's why you have two living in your pool now.
Well, okay, so there's six living in the pool. Four of them I put there on purpose.
Okay.
Two of them used to come in for the winter and then go back out into the small pond in the summer, but they walked all the way across, which is like a long walk, and somehow got in there. I couldn't find them, and then I found them swimming in there, and I was like, I guess you live here now.
Let me tell you something. It's so funny, because after you were in the last time, first of all, you're great to talk to and easy to talk to, but that whole, whole turtle thing, I kept getting asked about, what kind of turtles do you think they are? And you know, because I guess it's one of those, I think people think, and maybe wrongly so, that it's a low maintenance pet, but you gotta.
Some of them are.
Are they?
Some.
Yeah.
Some are far, far more high maintenance. I
right.
have the full range.
Okay.
The one that eats pigeons is a giant Mexican slider. She's about 20 pounds.
Well, and eats. But again, we would assume that a pigeon would be able to elude a turtle. You're saying. Is it like a snapping kind of mechanism, or?
I suppose there is a debate as to how okay the pigeon was when it arrived in the water.
Okay.
Like if it fell in and was flapping, or if it flew in dead. I don't know. But there was just pigeon pieces everywhere. It was horrifying.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Are you interested at all in snapping turtles?
No. No, I don't want anything that could, like, hurt me.
Okay.
I try not to play the food chain game at my house.
Right.
Yeah. I found out a little bit of information about snapping turtles the other day. If you do happen to see one and you're trying to just assist it and maybe get it out of the road or something
right.
like that. Most people grab from the sides of the shell, which
yes.
you would think they would do it to protect your hands. But snapping turtles have really long necks.
Yes.
And they can crane all the way around to the side and they can bite you.
Really?
And so I think you
well,
have to get them from the rear somehow.
All the way
or another.
From the back.
Yeah.
Wow.
No,
and
that...
watch out for the feet because they have claws and they kick pretty hard too.
They suck. Yeah, but they're scary looking.
Don't mess with snapping turtles.
They're prehistoric looking.
Hey, yeah. I wanted to ask about and we get information about our guests that come in. Sometimes it's stated and sometimes we're not really sure, but. Did you get a couple of awards at the most recent AVN Awards?
I was up for a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
I didn't actually win at the most recent one, but I was up for Best Actress.
Okay.
Is this in Vegas?
That was in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, the AVN show's in Vegas.
And doesn't the AVN, do they always have, for some bizarre reason, it coincides with, like, the Consumer Electronics Show or something like that?
I mean, back in the day, it was the same convention. And then it got so big on the
really?
Adult side that they split. Yeah, it
so
used
the
to
AVN
be the
was part of the consumer?
Yes,
wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Steve, I found out they do it on, they now have separated the dates. It
yeah.
used to, it would separate and there was the same weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now they found out that it's a little distracting.
They're about a weekend apart, but so now dudes will come and stay in Vegas for like 10 days straight at both conventions.
You get both ends of the
yeah.
spectrum. Well, let me ask you, but just by simple attrition, did you, because of the Consumer Electronics Show, are you into electronics and gadgets, or is that not even in any interest of you?
I mean, no relation to porn, but I do like tech. Sorry.
No problem. Yeah, that's
Got
cool.
It.
That's cool. So what does the convention become like these days? Because I know that the industry, like you go out... A lot of the friends of the show who are in the industry come by, and it's now more tuned into what you're doing, making appearances and doing things like that than it is
sure.
the actual film. So is the AVN as – because it used to be reported on a lot more. You get a lot more viral traction, and you don't hear about it as much.
No, I mean, it's a lot like – it's like all conventions. It's a lot like Comic-Con, only the theme is adult movies.
Right.
So even in that way people dress up, and like people will come in like all dressed out to the nines. Yeah.
I mean, like okay, but they're like a cosplayer. I mean, you're just dressing sexy, basically, right?
Sure, but I mean, people who have, like, regular day jobs will come in as a full dominatrix and, like, enjoy walking around the show and blending in. And, there really is a dress-up element for a lot of people.
What's the attendance like these days for that? Have you noticed a marked decrease, or is it about the same?
No, a couple years ago it was a little bit down. This last year was huge.
Really?
It's really big. Yeah, we do it out of the Hard Rock.
Are there things like the economy affects everything, but can you tell if it's going to be a good year in advance, or do you just...
It felt like it's going to be a good year this year. I think we're on an upswing in those little side areas.
Right. What's the part of the industry that's, besides, obviously, the films are obviously going to be always a part of it, but again, like this, are there cottage industries within the industry?
That's what's really changed, is the films are sort of less of a thing of it now. It's really about the websites and the individual scenes coming out. There are still movies, but they aren't buying DVDs like they used to. Right.
No, not at all. And I think that's where you excel, because you have this gregarious, good personality. You're good with people. And I think that actually favors people like yourself in the industry, right?
Sure. I mean, I'm doing fine. I can't complain. Yeah.
Right. What about like sex toys and stuff like that? You know, fleshlights?
Oh,
and,
sure.
Is there money to be made
and all
in that?
Like the dolls and the robot stuff, that's all really big right now.
What's going on with the robot stuff? Because the fleshlights are big, and then you had the real dolls.
Yes.
But now we're talking, you know.
Like I have a doll. 1AM Dolls has my full-size
really?
Life doll. Yeah.
Do you have one, and is it creepy to have one of yourself?
It stands in my room, and I put my necklaces on it at night.
Oh, my God.
Do you have a picture of it on Twitter or anything? Or?
Oh, I would have to look. Not super handy. It's 1AM Dolls.
All right, I'm going to look that up.
And so what, did they take a full mold of you, a full body cast?
I sent them in pictures, and we went back and forth for, like, 6 months with the designer who, like, sculpts it, basically, from photographs. And I had to take the most measurements I've ever taken in my life. I was, like, measuring my fingertips and things because they want it to be to scale.
Okay, I got it.
All right. Yeah, they'll call it up in here in the studio if you guys can, to
Yeah, here we go. That's Katie's doll.
Whoa.
Ta-da.
Oh,
there I am.
Creepy.
Yep.
So
right?
Did it creep you out initially? Because it must feel like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Bit weird. Yeah. Well, and when I got my one, they gave me the one that had been on the show floor in Vegas this past year.
Right.
To get it out, we had to put it in a wheelchair and have staff escort us out with our... And we had like a thing over it. It looked like we were sneaking a dead lady out.
It must have been. Look at that girl and her poor twin sister.
Well, and then... Because we had parties that night in the awards show, we ended up dumping her in the back of my car, and she laid there with her arms and legs up for over the whole weekend because we went to a party. But no one reported it.
Hey, effing crazy.
Do you mind if I bring over the guy that came in with you this morning?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, because step on up here. No, you.
You.
Yeah. Step on up here to the mic. It's funny because in the world of porn, the women have the spotlight for the most part, and you're like, Katie Morgan, I've seen her, blah, 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 I know exactly who she is. And then you say... how about Evan Stone? You're like, I don't know. And then you see a picture, you're like, I know that.
Oh,
dude.
That guy.
I know that, dude. So that is who is here. Evan Stone is his name.
Woo!
How you doing, Evan?
I'm good. Good. Yeah, life is good for me.
Life is good. That's good.
Luckiest guy on the planet.
I would imagine. Do you... Yeah, you feel pretty, you know, privileged in what you've managed to do in your career.
Oh yeah, I usually have to take my clothes off to rent a car if people recognize me. But yeah, other than that,
hey, I recognize your face.
Yeah, so
you come from the day when they used to show guys' faces back in porn.
Yes, he was in real movies. He was in the biggest movie ever.
What movie?
Pirates.
That was a full budget, right? Full budget costume. That's very, in fact, but though it wasn't in the quote unquote like golden age or like full scripted porn, they did go back to it. It was almost like a throwback to that style, and it was a full budgeted deal. Will you get recognized? Because we recognized you, but
we're aficionados.
Yeah. I mean, that, all the time it's ridiculous. I can't even go to the mall anymore because like if someone goes from across the hallway, hey, look, it's that guy, and they come over take pictures, and somebody else takes pictures, and security comes, you can't take pictures here. I'm just trying to get to Radio Shack, bro.
He gets like high fives on the street. He gets people yelling good job through his car window.
I think I remember seeing you in a movie, and it was a movie, And I think you were doing like all kinds of stunts and stuff, like jumping over bar and doing flips and stuff. So you do some real physical things, or did some real physical things.
Yeah, I wrestled WCW.
Did you?
With Chris Adams and those guys at the Sportatorium in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris Adams is the one that trained me. So, I mean, if doing the stunts thing was easy, I was like, I can do these stunts for like okay.
yeah. Hey, so how has the industry shifted from for you? Because as President observed, it favors the women. It's one of the, you know, the industry favors women now.
Remember, this is mainstream right now.
The fact that I've done it for 20 years, everybody knows me and stuff. And yeah. So it's pretty much, I don't have an agent or anything like that. So people just call me. So, I mean, I'm still working.
You're still working, yeah.
Whereas the new guys and stuff, you can't make a career out of it anymore. You've got to have another job besides this job.
Are more of the people behind the camera women now?
More directors.
Yeah.
Which is really a godsend.
Is it?
Yeah. Is it?
Were there a lot of schmucky male directors?
Yeah. We have our own police force. I mean, eventually we wean out the people that are undesirable, but it takes a while.
Yeah, you would imagine. Man, I don't. There's well, a, one of the trends. A, go ahead, Nick.
One of the trends for men was now is that you don't even see their faces at all. I mean, and it's pretty prevalent where it does not even matter what the dude looks like as long as he does
it's,
what he needs to do.
It still kind of matters.
It still kind of matters.
It matters to you.
For those of us who can see his face, it's still kind of matters.
Sure.
That's a good point.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I don't even have to do my makeup when I show up for work now.
right.
There's a scene, and I don't know how, you know, we understand it's fairly accurate, but when Dirk Diggler in Boogie Nights has his first scene with Julianne Moore, you know, and, is that a classic overstatement for that movie, or is it as comfortable as it appears in that film the first time?
I'm probably one of the rare exceptions to the rule. I was a male stripper for 15 years before I even got into this, and so I was
just par for the course
progression.
Yeah. Well, it's wild though. It's funny because David Tell, you know, is a massive fan of. The comedian is a massive fan of porn, and he used to have that. What was the show, Preston?
That was Dave's Old Porn.
Dave's Old Porn, yeah. And so he's like a savant when it comes to the industry. And now there are a lot of movies about that are documentaries about the industry. You know, you guys as well know.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a second life for a lot of people who are part of it, you know?
Yeah. We're multi-talented.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen, unfortunately, we got to wrap it up. But I do want to mention, of course, that Katie is in town to do some appearances. And she's going to be at Clover's Gate in the Northeast tonight. There's one show at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow, Philly location down on Columbus Boulevard, two shows. That's 10 and midnight. And then Saturday in Bristol, there's two shows, 10 p.m. and midnight as well. And stop by and you'll have all kinds of merch and pictures.
Totally. And
all
Evan
that
will
stuff.
Be there letting everyone buy him drinks.
Oh, yes.
Nice. And
turtle advice if you need it, right?
Turtle advice, all of those things. Nice. I've got it all covered.
There you go.
Well, Katie, it's great to see you. And Evan, it's nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
It's cool. Thanks for being
here.
All right, guys. Club Risque this weekend. Katie Morgan. We're going to take a break. David Blaine on the show when we get back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. When you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Our next guest, you know, finally, you won't have to go to Times Square or you won't have to go to England to see him or anything like that. He's going to be at the Tower Theater on July 11th. I'm dying to see this guy perform live.
You remember when we first saw Street Magic on TV?
Yeah.
We came in the next day and we were leveled. We could not stop talking about it.
And still when the specials hit. We were just watching segments of the last one.
Yeah.
And it's amazing stuff. Please welcome the one and only. There is no one like him. Mr. David Blaine.
Yeah.
To our program. Morning, David.
Hey, Preston and Steve. How's it going?
Going well.
Very well, sir. Good to finally talk to you after being fans for so many years. And it's great that... that you're doing these shows, man. It's I've wanted to see you on stage perform. It's been a completely different setting than we're used to seeing you in.
Yeah, this has been a dream of mine to make a stage show for many, many years. And, of course, I've always been reluctant because I wanted to make sure that it was going to be good enough and worth doing and for the audience and so I eventually came up with this concept, which is all the most difficult pieces of stunts combined with magic all combined into one evening. So it's night after night. It's like the hardest endurance challenge of my career.
I don't doubt that. Yeah.
And I feel like at the end, I feel like I basically went through a long, many rounds of a fight. but it's amazing.
You know, David, so in the beginning of your career, from what we understand, you know, doing some research on you, the first magician who caught your attention was actually a street performer, and that sort of set you on that path of that sort of, you know, out and about sort of guerrilla style. But there's a certain charm to the classic stage magician, but with you sort of setting that on its side, I have to imagine that's going to be a pretty amazing show.
Yeah, I used to read about Houdini and how he took his escape and his strength feats and all the stuff that he did combined with magic and made it into this stage show that the audience would go crazy over. So I kind of looked up to that. I was never really an illusion guy. So when I grew up, we didn't really have the resources to go buy magic sets or magic props. So I had to learn, you know, the stuff that's kind of done by these performers in Coney Island, or like you said, guys performing on the streets or on the Coney Island piers.
Right.
And I looked up to those guys. And of course, most of my friends are magicians and sleight of hand guys. So that was more of what I favored.
So then
the idea was, how do you make that all translate on the stage? And it's become a very interactive show with the audience, and I actually love it. It's my favorite thing that I've ever done.
I'm definitely going to make sure that I'm in the theater for that show as well. My wife, I remember, and we kid you not, when Street Magic, you know, premiered, and we came in, we all watched it, and then we came in on the air next day. And I described, even though, listen, I understand some people get bristle. They feel like they're being hoodwinked with magic and acts of magic. To me, the fact that the illusion can be so convincing, the mechanics of how it's pulled off, that's the fascination. I know you're not Merlin, but the day after that special aired, I remember Preston and we were saying this.
Mm-hmm.
It made you believe in magic again, you know? And so in that way, I assume for you, that's the ultimate rush.
Yeah, for me, the ultimate rush is being able to make people from kind of like, you know, all different backgrounds, and even depending on what kind of day they're having, they might be in a really bad mood, and I walk up to them, start doing magic, and suddenly you see their whole demeanor change.
Yeah.
So the idea of just being able to, you know, change somebody's mood or day or minute just with magic, that's kind of the excitement of it, and that's what I wanted to capture with that first show, and that's what the goal of this stage show is to capture that kind of feeling, that excitement. So it's, you know, the three words that I strive to achieve when I do magic is, I like the words meaningful, interesting, and believable. And those are the three things about guys like Houdini or Haji Ali, who is a human fire hydrant, or Mac Norton, who is a human aquarium. They all achieve that. There's a guy today that does that named Stevie Starr. When I see him on, you know, he does like, you know, America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent. Or
right.
David Letterman or Jay Leno. Whenever I see him do his appearances, I'm always stunned, because it's like, I know he's doing something real, and he's obviously combining it with the entertainment and magic, but it's he's using his body as a prop. And that's the stuff I was always drawn to the most.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I disagree with Steve. I do think you're probably magic.
Works regardless, though.
After your last TV special, I might have even tweeted, I think this guy is really magic, especially with the wedding ring trick and the coat hanger.
So this was done with Johnny Depp, right?
He did a couple people.
Yeah, he also did it with Beckham as well.
Yeah.
I was absolutely floored. And I know you're in town on July 11th. You're doing your show at the Tower Theater, which is a great, great theater. I don't know what I have to do, if you have a charity or something that I can donate to, but I would love to get you in our studio when you're in town.
I would love to come by. What's the day of the week that I'm there?
It's a Wednesday.
We're not going to say we want to extort you into this, but we will gleefully extort you into this.
But hold on. So wait, are you guys in the station on? Are you in the station on Wednesday morning?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Yeah. So if I get there on time, I would love to come in.
All right. Beautiful. Okay. We'll take that.
If I get there and I'm not there the afternoon of the show, but I'm there early somehow, then yeah, I'll definitely.
Excellent.
Come.
All right.
It'll be fun, but then you guys have to come to the show.
Oh, done. Done. No, I'm there.
Going anyway.
I'm there regardless. Yeah.
Hey, David, I wanted to ask, you know, about illusions like that, like the wedding band trick. You know, clearly this is something you have to work on. You have to develop. And magicians, it's a tight community. You guys will work with each other. Do you have consultants, or is this all exclusively you that comes up with things like that?
No, I work with a great group of magicians, and I mean, they're best friends of mine. So we all brainstorm and talk magic and shop and look up old history, the books, find things that nobody else has seen. And the other day I was at a friend's house up in outside of Stanford. He's a professor there, but he's also a magician. I was looking through one of his books that's almost 500 years old on magic, and I found some handwritten notes in the beginning. I was like, hey! But, you know, it's like, no, you're always, you know, spending time with magicians and discovering new secrets and new things. So it's fun. It's like treasure hunting.
Sure, it has to be wild. Going back to the special that Casey was referencing, you did a trick. You got the ability to perform a trick for Stephen Hawking. That had to be, first off, for us as viewers, it was magical in and of itself. What was it like for you to be in proximity and to wow him?
Yeah, that was amazing. I spent actually quite 4 or 5 hours with him. We filmed all of it, but I only used a short clip on the ABC show. But it was incredible because he was also telling me all the stories about when he was a freshman up at Oxford, and you know, before he was a professor at Cambridge, and the crazy stuff that he used to do, like, you know, guzzling beer and challenges, but I was doing the water spout thing I was working on in front of him. And, yeah, it was incredible. So that it was an honor to be able to spend time with him, and what a loss.
No, a major loss, but you did, you know, it's why you always talk about grabbing moments in time. You did, and got that opportunity to be with him. With the celebrities, and we love, for some reason, Harrison Ford's reaction to your illusion was classic when he basically told you to get the F out of his house. Was hilarious. I have to imagine when you're standing in the presence of Han Solo and Indiana Jones, you got to be a little awestruck.
Oh, he was one of my heroes, one of my favorites. Are you kidding? Yeah, he was the best. The best was after that, he invited me back, and we were doing a spice off. Who could eat the hottest food nonstop? As we're both sweating bullets, going, you know, dish for dish, chili pepper for chili pepper, because he learned all that when he was filming Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. Man. So the stage show, are we basically talking a solo you on the stage? Are there other participants, or what can we anticipate?
It is just me. But since my show isn't necessarily a kid's show, but lots of people still bring their kids. I have my favorite kids magician in the world that's opening for me, and his name is Mario the Maker Magician, and he brings all the kids up on stage and just does this amazing stuff that he's genius at, and that's one of my favorite parts that I get to watch before the show begins, because before the show begins he's running around the lobby and through the audience, and I'm running up through the balcony or through the lobby looking for, you know, some of the kids that can help him with his act. So that's fun.
Cool. Now, I did see that there's a parental advisory for the show, David.
There is, because I do some of the crazy things you said you saw on TV, so like that ring hanger thing. All that stuff is incorporated into the show. So
okay.
I don't recommend it for kids, but ironically, it's usually the kids that are watching, and it's their parents that are hiding their eyes.
Of course, of course. The parents are gagging. The kids are loving every second of it.
I think the kids are used to it because of all these crazy video games and stuff like cartoons, so this is nothing.
Right.
Well, the show, just to reiterate, is at the Tower Theater. It's on July 11th, so Wednesday, like Casey said. And if we can arrange for you to come by, it would be, that's marking something off the bucket list, which would be amazing. But LiveNation.com.
Well, yeah, if I'm in town on time, I'm there. I would love that.
Beautiful. Love it. Love it.
DavidBlaine.com. So, yeah, we're fans, and thanks for taking some time, David, and enjoy this run of theater dates. It's really cool that you're getting out on the road. Thanks for coming on this morning.
No, thanks for having me, and I look forward to meeting you guys.
Excellent. Yeah, the one and only, David Blaine. Yeah. Ah, he's great.
Nice shot at that, Casey, if you can get him in.
Yeah.
Like I said, if I need to donate money to his charity, I got like, you know, like $50 in my my Venmo account. I can send over there.
Well, what about all those diamonds in my back porch?
That's right. We could offer those up.
No, they're worth $50.
It all depends on whether he would get in the day before.
Yeah, well, looking at his tour, so he's here on the 11th. His only date before that is the 8th. So who knows?
Right. I would imagine through the powers of astral projection, he could be in here regardless.
Like his alter ego?
Yes.
Or,
the same way Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, along those lines.
Yeah, same deal.
That trick that he did with Harrison Ford. So if I recall, he had Harrison like write his name on a card or something like that. And, you know, he makes it disappear. Or he may have even torn it up and swallowed it. I don't know what he did with it. But he goes, there was a basket of fruit sitting out.
It was random.
Harrison Ford.
His own produce.
And he goes, here, why don't you take that orange and cut that orange
off. He let him pick. He let him pick the fruit.
We have the audio Harrison's reaction to that.
All right, and then he cuts it open and the card's inside there. And then here it is.
See how there's a card in the orange?
No way.
See how there's one card inside? Please remove it.
No, that's just crazy.
Get the out of my house.
Oh my God!
Oh,
that's perfect.
No, we had a few people, texting in saying that. Listen, this guy sounds like paint drying. That's his style. That's his delivery. He's very, very dry. He's very, very monotone, and but it plays well with that mystic sense that he puts off while he's doing these things.
And that's by design. Normally that is his pentameter, but by design he wanted to be antithetical to the tuxedoed, hey everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you would let the illusion speak for itself.
Yeah.
You
know? Steve did this bit years ago that just cracked me up. Right. I wish we had it.
It was
we could even play it out if you want. So
yeah, all right, pick a card.
Okay.
All
right. We got it.
All right. Put it back in the deck.
Okay.
All right. Now, I haven't seen the card, right?
That's right.
And we've never met before, that we've worked together for 20 years, right?
Yeah, I've never met you before.
All right. What card did you pick?
Nine of diamonds.
That's right.
What? That's... Oh, my God. How did you do that? He didn't even look at it.
No. How did he know that it was the Nine of Diamonds?
It's magic.
Wow.
Get the F out of my studio. Get the F out of my studio.
But we love he did the thing. He talked about the boardwalk. The levitation trick, which is
love to see that.
A foot placement. Yeah.
We had girls that were in that special, because it was at the board, it was in Atlantic City, who called in that morning after it aired and told us about their experience with him. He does the, what was it? It's called like the, it's not the Fibonacci sequence. That's from.
It's the Malachi Crunch.
It's the Malachi Crunch.
Yeah, it's the Malachi Crunch. No, it's the Graftenberg. Intrusion.
Those are the girls. Right, we're looking at. No, it's a technique that you can do to make it appear as if you're levitating and you're not really doing it. But
this is a funny text.
It says, hey, I swear to God, when he was asking about the days you work, I thought he was about to walk into the studio.
That would have been so cool.
Yeah, when are you guys on here?
I'm here right now. Today I'm filling in for Pierre.
Oh, that would have been great. Wow. Okay, we got a couple minutes, right?
Well, for the bizarre file.
Oh, we haven't done the...
Dude, it's 10:15.
Damn bizarre 10:15. File yet.
We have not many minutes.
But we skipped it in the last break, right? Which means we need to do the B file and the trash. And music news. Okay,
we do it all in one shot?
Yeah, we'll do it all.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by Todd B. Jacobs Personal Injury Law Firm, getting you the compensation you deserve or you don't pay. 267-687-0379, tbjacobslaw.com. An Allegiant flight from Orlando to Grand Rapids was delayed Monday after an unruly passenger stole a flight attendant's demonstration life jacket and shoved it down the toilet.
Wow. People get so pissed off in transit.
I have two stories back to back that are transit stories. Flight 682 was delayed due to weather, said Aaron Bruce, who was on the flight with her mother, and then things got a little bit weird. Bruce said that a man on the flight was moved because he appeared to be intoxicated.
and they wanted to keep an eye on him.
Don't they not let people on a flight if they appear to be intoxicated?
They can do that, yeah.
Yeah.
She said he snagged the flight attendant's life jacket, the one they used for a demo, and then he went into the restroom and shoved it in the toilet. The flight attendant, who was trying to conduct the pre-flight safety demonstration, began searching for the missing life jacket. Attendants asked over the intercom for whoever took the inflatable device to return it because the flight can't leave without the demonstration. That's the rule.
So they have to, the demonstration has to be executed to code,
yep,
or they cannot leave.
They will not leave because that opens up the potential for a lawsuit.
They can't say, imagine I'm holding a life jacket.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So Bruce said she
imagine
thinks
I'm holding a life jacket.
That the man fessed up. She said they noticed this in the life jacket, that the life jacket was in the restroom, in the toilet. It was soiled. And they had to wait for someone to bring
and
them
blue now at this point, right?
A fresh one to do the demo. And in fact, the captain turned the plane around to go get a new vest. Passengers,
we have to go back to the airport.
Passengers were annoyed until they started bonding over the comic moment. The passenger was removed by flight attendants with police supervising. He wasn't arrested, and they rebooked him on a later flight.
Yeah. Why wasn't he arrested?
I don't know. I think he might have just interfered with the
company's toilet function.
Well, with the company's policy and not necessarily a law. You know what I mean? Here you go. How about this? The law. A passenger on an Alaskan Airlines flight from Seattle to Anchorage looked up from his audiobook to see a naked man yelling and heading toward the cockpit. Nick Steffel said, I thought it was some kind of an attack. Well, when the naked man reversed course and ran to the rear of the jet, Steffel confronted him. Another passenger helped restrain the man, and the jet landed safely about 45 minutes later. The man was transported to the hospital. Now, the man was assigned a seat two rows ahead of this guy, Steffel, near the back of the jet. Steffel noticed the man watching a movie he'd seen, The Disaster Artist.
Okay.
The movie contained a prominent scene with actor James Franco naked.
And it encourages you, if you're on a flight, to mimic that scene, correct?
So Steffel, I guess so. Steffel did not see the man remove his clothes, but looked up to see him 15 rows ahead running forward. He said, I heard him whooping and hollering. Like he was having a good. He said he was whooping and hollering.
I'm
like
make a sound for you.
Like he had, like he's having a good time.
Patches on the left side of the plane will hear.
He said he guessed the naked man was about 22 years old and only about 140 pounds. Steffel unbuckled the seatbelt and stood in front of him. The young man, he said, went into bro mode.
When a naked dude is in bro mode,
yeah. So he's naked and he stands there and he goes, hey, man, what's going on?
I don't know. I'm just flying in a plane, watch movies.
And he said, and my adrenaline is just pumping and I'm in fight response after this guy's running toward the cockpit after a post 9/11 flight. I was almost raging at that point.
Sure.
In a profanity.
Naked Al Qaeda.
In a profanity-laced question, Steffel asked the man what he was doing, and the man replied with a smart-ass response, according to him. So Steffel slapped him in the face.
Snap out of it!
The young man was never violent. Steffel said, I was the one that got violent. I slapped him across the face, and he was like, oh, I like it.
So, clearly, was there some sort of drug involved with this?
They never indicated this. Okay, so anyhow, after the guy says, oh, like it, within seconds, another passenger, possibly the young man's father, pinned his arms behind him and escorted him to the crew work area. Flight attendants,
my boy's a little crazy,
swarmed in and may have restrained him. Out of sight, the man shouted out crazy things the rest of the flight, Steffel said.
I told you to stay in your seat while I tried to flush the life jacket.
FBI agents contacted the man in Anchorage, but left him in the care of airport police.
Man, traveling is a wild west out there.
It is. Steve, you spoke about with Jay Leno. We didn't talk about it on air, but he has a McLaren in his car.
One of 64.
And somebody's offered him $17 million for
yes.
him. So McLarens are obviously most coveted cars. Well, the Nevada Highway Patrol discovered a totaled McLaren 720 off the road near Lake Mead on Friday, and police said seatbelts saved the lives of the two people who were inside. Now, this one was a $300,000 car.
Okay, so the actual McLaren that he has is the one where the driver sits in the center.
It was found 70 yards from the road, and police reported that it rolled at least one time while nearly missing a ravine. The McLaren is a 710 horsepower coupe.
Oh my God.
Which reaches a maximum speed of around 212 miles per hour. According to officers, neither the driver nor passenger were seriously injured. When the vehicle was found by police, the driver and passenger were missing from the scene of the crash. After a search, officers learned that they made their way to the nearest hospital to be treated for a few scrapes and burns. The couple was part of a cross-country exotic car rally.
Oh, boy.
Which is an event for supercar owners who hold parties at each stop along the way.
So but it's like the Cannonball Run.
They totaled theirs, and the car was a complete loss.
Wow.
Nasty. All right, and that is where we will wrap the Bizarre File. Now, we're going to do our other features. We're going to do a lesson question for today, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets for Daryl Hall and John Oates Hoagie Nation, May 26th at Festival Pier. And the question I'm going to ask is this. All right, approximately how much money has Stan Lee generated? Approximately, according to Steve. 215-263-WMMR. If you get it close, we'll set you up, but I'll tell you now, it's not a real number.
Not a real number.
215-263-WMMR. Call now. We are going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning is brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Mark your calendar for May 25th to join the Preston and Steve Show live from Keenan's in North Wildwood for the official opening of the Jersey Shore. What's going on, Steve?
Well, after a brief period of estrangement, Kanye West and Caitlyn Jenner have reportedly been spending some time together working on improving their relationship. Kanye says he could never stay mad at Caitlyn because he always wanted a stepmother-in-law who could throw a javelin 200 yards.
Oh, my God.
Nikki Bella saying she's very cautious of John Cena's announcement that he would have children with her to save their relationship. Cena's quick to clarify that he would have the children, but would make no effort to love them. Oh. So there you go.
Oh, my God.
And finally, the trailer for a new documentary on Whitney Houston includes a clip of her ripping Paula Abdul saying, quote, she ain't S, and is observing that she's always off key. Abdul has taken the high road responding to the clip, saying Whitney will always be the greatest female singer of all time, but she did admit that she's glad Whitney's dead.
Wow.
And that's your overtrained.
Let's see if somebody knows approximately how much money Stan Lee has generated. I will go to Dan and see if Dan knows. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Hi, my name's actually Kalen.
Oh, Kalen.
There we go.
Yeah.
So close.
Well, you know, the D is silent.
No, that's from the Bizarre File the other day, right?
Oh.
Is your name actually Kalen?
Yes.
Oh, oh. It is. Where the hell did you get Dan from?
Let me take care of this.
Okay. Hey, Kalen.
Yeah.
What's the answer? How much money did Stan Lee generate?
About 1 to 1.5 kabillion.
Kabillion.
Yes. That's correct. Yes.
Hang on a second.
The kabillion.
Kalen. Kelvin was the name the other day from the Bizarre File. A woman got a tattoo with Kevin on it, or Kelvin instead of Kevin. Well, Kalen. He'll always be Dan to us, and he is going to get tickets to go see Daryl Hall and John Oates, Hoagie Nation, on May 26th at Festival Pier, presented by Dietz and Watson. And it's a celebration of all things Philly. You can get tickets now at HoagieNation.com. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Hi, this morning is brought to you by Bridgeport Speedway, the world of outlaw craftsman sprint cars. One and only appearance in Jersey, May 22nd at Bridgeport Speedway in Swedesboro. You can get tickets now at
WOO Sprint.com.
And still on our hottie cam is Miss Motorsports, Leslie Donegan, who is representing Bridgeport Speedway.
I hear that it's a blast over there. I have to get over there.
All right, let's get into a few stories for you here. Vicky Cornell, the widow of late Soundgarden singer Chris Cornell, said that she and her family were still looking for answers about her husband's death almost a year after he hung himself in a Detroit hotel.
Would you ever stop? I mean, you can get closure to some level, but I think you would always be questioning something like that.
The 1 year date or anniversary or however you want to word it is tomorrow, by the way. Vicky continues to question the official ruling on Chris's death, saying that the medical examiner conducted a botched investigation. Vicky said that inconsistencies in the official narrative have led to false accusations and online attacks on her family. She explained, this has left me and my family still looking for answers, but at the same time set off this whirlwind of conspiracies. Some of the people are just fans looking for answers, but some of them are conspiracy theorists
who has said the most vile things to my children and me.
This is an amazing phenomenon when this occurs. These conspiracy theorists come out, we assume because of admiration over the subject, and then they start to attack the family as if they're part of a conspiracy to suppress information. It's lunacy.
The first time I remember really experiencing that and just being absolutely disgusted was the whole Sandy Hook thing. How dare you? How can you?
Yeah.
How do you prey upon a family's,
even if you think that, you know what I mean?
Shut your hole.
It's beyond horrible. Vicky has continued to focus on the autopsy report, stating drugs did not contribute to the cause of death, calling the statement completely misleading. She remarked the poor choice of phrasing has misled the public to believing that he was of sound mind and body. So some conspiracy people think if Chris wasn't impaired, he would never have killed himself. And so he must have been killed. And then they start getting into the rest of the holes.
Look at how long the Kurt Cobain stuff has held on.
Oh, yeah. Vicky maintains that her husband was impaired at the time of his death, with Dr. Richard Cole from the University of Miami's Miller School of Medicine corroborating that drugs likely played a part in the singer's death.
Yeah.
Vicky is adamant that Chris did not have control of his faculties due to toxicology when he hung himself. Public vigil, by the way, is going to be held on Friday, tomorrow, at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery in Los Angeles to mark the one-year anniversary of Chris's death. 21 Pilots, Panic at the Disco, Paramore, and other acts have donated items to an auction that's going to raise money to support those affected by the mass shooting at Florida's Stoneman Douglas High School in February this year. Among the items are 21 Pilots vinyl bundles, a signed Panic at the Disco album, autographed test pressings of Paramore singles, posters, plus items from Dashboard Confessional, Young the Giant, and others. The auction is being sponsored by the record label, Fueled by Ramen. That's a great name, by the way.
It is.
Which said in a statement, Florida roots run deep with Fueled by Ramen. The label was born out of a college dorm room in Florida, and the state is home to many bands on our roster, both past and present. They said, we learned of the recent tragedy in Parkland, or when we learned of that, we knew that we needed help. We reached out to our bands and began collecting special items from our offices. All the proceeds from this auction are going to benefit Major East Stoneman Douglas High School and its students. Guns N' Roses keyboardist Dizzy Reed spoke about his tenure in the band, which, by the way, is the second longest after Axl Rose, as well as his relationship with the eccentric frontman. He said, Axl's a great person. So he's one of the funniest people I know.
He seems like a load of laughs.
He said...
Well, you get conflicting reports on it. Some people do love the guy and have had really pleasant, positive experiences with him over the years. And then you get the dark side of Axl.
Hey, yep. Just because he's great to you and funny to you doesn't mean that he's a 100%. Super nice guy to everybody. He said, every night before we go on stage, he comes up and he'll have a joke. And he said, and it's usually a good one.
Hey, guess who's the worst member of this band?
And you. He said, and nobody works harder than that guy. He's always misrepresented in the press. It's kind of sad, really, what some people come up with just to sell things. Really? You mean like, you know, completely not showing up for gigs? I mean, he doesn't do that anymore, but he certainly earned that reputation.
There's always a possibility of reclamation. I think he's done that. I think he's, you know, he embraces now the whole deal of the fan base. That's cool. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not like he didn't have a long history of treating the fans shabbily.
Yep. Reed joined the band in 1990. He's been there ever since.
How about that?
I thought this was interesting. Not necessarily MMR music, but we all do love Prince.
Yes.
And his legendary 80s band, The Revolution.
Yes.
Has announced 19 North American dates between June and late October.
I actually saw an ad for this. I told my wife about it. They're coming to this area, right?
I didn't see any dates around
here.
Okay. I saw one in New York, and that was about as close as I saw them.
You got Wendy and Lisa.
Yeah,
and
so it's going to be all the classic members. It'll be Wendy Melvoin on guitar.
Yeah.
Lisa Coleman on keyboards.
Yeah.
Brown Mark is the bassist, Bobby Z on drums, and Dr. Fink on keyboards. Remember that guy who wore straw?
Absolutely. And Buckethead.
No, Buckethead is not in the band.
Oh.
But these are the, you know, this is the Revolution. These are the guys, the ones in the movie.
And they're on a double bill, pressing with the Pips.
Oh, the Pips are touring. I didn't know. Yeah.
No, but these guys are all.
That's all they do.
Woo-hoo! Woo! And they just kind of look at their watches.
In the press
My world. But the no,
hers
the,
and hers alone,
and then they leave. These guys though, and Wendy and Lisa specifically are great musicians and great writers.
Yeah, absolutely. In a press release for the dates, Wendy explained and said, "I think what is this?
It's the Pips."
Rhyme with time. I've got to be with them. I know you will.
Leaving on the midnight train, Georgia.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
You know what's funny is the doctor in the Revolution, the guy who wears the costume, now needs the very doctor he dresses up as.
I would imagine, yeah. So anyhow, he said, Wendy said, I think everybody in the Revolution
was it Wendy or Lisa, Preston?
It was Wendy.
Okay.
She said, I think everybody in the Revolution is singular, not like anybody else. So while we still have a shot at getting this, that same feeling, let's do it with as much grace and integrity as we can. We're still a band, still vital human beings. So let's play this stuff before we can't anymore.
I'd like to say, you know, Morris.
Wendy's a good guitar player.
Absolutely. Man. Morris Day and The Time, they were touring for a little while.
If they got together with the Revolution, that'd be pretty
cool. There you go.
That'd be a hell of a tour.
The way they use, the way you see them dressed in Purple Rain. Mm-hmm. You know, where they had all the makeup on and the...
like the Victorian jackets.
Right.
Really, you know, yeah.
Like Kathy dress.
Yeah, you could do that.
This is just announced.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It looks like there's a show coming to town. This will be at the Fillmore, Philadelphia, September 20th. This is pretty cool, man.
What?
I knew that these guys were working together. Sting and Shaggy are coming to town. Yeah, Sting and Shaggy, I think they did an album together, didn't they?
Did they?
I think so.
I don't know.
No Scooby-Doo, though.
No, Scoob. No. Thanks, everyone, for coming out tonight. Of course, you all know my dog.
Shaggy, that's... That was all when the pilot went to feel young. Right?
Yeah. It sounds like he's choking on his own tongue.
Yeah.
And when he speaks normally.
Right.
It's actually an affectation.
I want to tell the nation my appreciation.
Yep.
That is pretty weird.
I kind of like Shaggy.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
Paul McCartney's touring with Coolio.
Well, he worked with Kanye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so that is September 20th. Nick, is there an on sale?
Yes. Pre-sale is Wednesday, 5/23, next week at 10 a.m. And then tickets on sale to the general public next week, 5/24 at 10 a.m. And that's at the Fillmore Philly, September 20th. And the information's on the Fillmore's Instagram account.
Huh. This is Shaggy, yeah?
Yeah, this is wasn't me. Well, that's not him singing.
This is about Fairboy.
He's Vin Diesel. Wait, doing the rap part.
That's not him singing?
No, he's the rapper.
Ah.
Yeah. Here you go.
Got
So, Steve, when he's not rapping like that, he talks like what?
It's like Vin like Diesel. The movie's about family.
Yeah.
It was something I do on stage, and people have responded rather warmly to it. They are enchanted by the Caribbean sound, and so I'll do it for you.
Yeah, all right.
What I do is I have an epileptic seizure, and then I start singing.
All right, and there you go. That's all I have in music news for you this morning. Casey is looking for something.
Solo.
Solo. Movie screening.
Solo.
That is correct. And we have a chance for you to go and see the movie Monday at 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. We can take... you know what? Let's take 8 callers right now. 215-263-WMMR. See one of the... very, very much anticipated films that's coming out. The movie doesn't hit theaters until May 25th.
So reviews are very good.
You got a nice jump on this. 215-263-WMMR, 8 callers, and that is Monday, May 21st, 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. Going to take a break, come back in a second, and I believe we'll be wrapping up this here radio program in just a moment. Stay with us.
Whether social...
Hey, welcome in.
...or anti-social...
Hey, get out!
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
And a fairly gloomy-looking day today. At least it's not raining now, but calling for light rain through the course of the day. High topping out about 70.
Some rain expected tomorrow, 63. We have this really stalled system in the area, and it's just going to hang, and that's what we got. And
are you getting seasonal depression here, even though it's not?
No.
We're in the right season. It's just this cloudiness wears me down. You know, I'm a child of the sun, Preston.
Ask me in another day or two, and I might concur with that, but we haven't gotten enough of it quite yet, but... keep an eye out for this flooding stuff, because that happened overnight. I did not expect that at all.
Did you encounter a lot of
huge puddles that I had to drive through, you know, a little bit nervously, because I take some pretty isolated roads on the way getting to the Northeast Extension, and I'm like, man, I get stuck. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. But Schuylkill Expressway had some serious flooding this morning as well. So just keep that in mind. Next few days, we're going to be a little bit on the soggy side. And we're watching Saturday right now, rain, 71 degrees. I don't know. It's too far out in advance to say how long the rain's going to be out or what time of days it's going to be raining, a day it's going to be raining. But maybe tomorrow we can get a better idea.
Also, Preston, Eric Simon, our promotions director, has just let us know that the set times are now posted on WMMR.com.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of requests.
Yep.
When are the bands coming on? And so specific questions that you may need to know, like umbrellas and can you bring in a bottle of water and when are the bands going on, all that kind of stuff. Go to WMMR.com right now, PrestonandSteve.com. That information is posted.
As you pointed out earlier, Preston, it's going to be a little bit, you know, it'll be a nice temperature. It won't be oppressive, which is great. But the you know, you should prepare for rain. And, you know, whether it's going to be constant, we don't know. What it's looking like is it's going to be on and off. But, we're old pros at this now, because it always seems to crop up. But the show goes on and everyone has a blast.
Also, there were 200 seats that were just released.
Whoa!
Yeah, so I think they were pretty limited in the seats that were for sale. And Eric says that were 200 great seats just released.
Whoa.
So, if you're looking for seats, they are available. And
jump on those.
Yeah, again, all the information's up on the website.
Yeah, even if you already have lawn tickets,
Maybe
you want to get seats.
Absolutely.
So get them now. I didn't know that. Sometimes for production reasons, they hang on to some seats and then, you know, last minute.
Right.
We'll sell them.
Musical chairs is always something they like to play. Ah. And I know that that's a big issue and that they seldom have enough seats available.
Thank you to all the guests on the show. Jay Leno was on the program.
Yeah.
An evening with Jay Leno Saturday at 8 o'clock at the Academy of Music. Tickets at KimmelCenter.org. He was great. Lee Whannell, director and writer of the movie Upgrade, and he's the guy who wrote the Saw movies and
Insidious.
Insidious, thank you. I get that and The Conjuring mixed up.
Yes.
From time
to Conjuring.
Time. The Conjuring. The Conjuring. But Lee was great, and Upgrade looks like a cool movie. June 1st is when it's going to be out. Katie Morgan,
yes,
was here, and with her.
It shows you where we are, Preston. She's a porn star, and we're far more fascinated with the turtles.
Her porn star boyfriend was here,
yes,
and that was Evan Stone. He's been at it for a long time, but anyhow, Katie's going to be appearing at Club Risqué tonight in the Northeast, Friday in Philly.
That was her boyfriend,
and Saturday in Bristol. Yeah. I guess they're a couple. Yeah,
that's why he was here.
Yeah,
he wasn't expecting to go.
Kathy was turned on.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Didn't know that.
And
Kathy says with a very approving.
No. They make a perfect couple.
Oh, that's troubling. Yep.
And thank you to David Blaine.
Yay! Yeah.
David was great. He was David, you know.
Casey tried to work it. We might get him in the studio, Preston.
Yeah, he's going to be at the Tower Theater July 11th. So we'll see if he can make it in. Tickets available at livenation.com. And thank you to Miss New Jersey Motorsports, who is
wonderful.
Leslie Donegan, she's been on our hottie cam today.
Very nice.
They race all different types of classes and race cars weekly. And keep in mind that the World of Outlaws Craftsman Sprint Car Series is coming to Bridgeport Speedway Tuesday, May 22nd. And you can go to World of Outlaws.
WorldOfOutlaws.com
to get your tickets.
Is that a speedway where you could maybe bring your own car? Sometimes speedways let you bring your own car.
It's a dirt track.
Oh, it's a dirt track.
So I do not know if you can take your own vehicle or not on that, but who knows? They do a lot of modified races and sprints.
Yep.
Pierre Robert is here. How do?
Hello there.
Good to see you.
And you too, kids.
Thank you, man. How's the humidity treating your hair?
You can't do a thing with it.
But I had an implant yesterday.
Mm. Yeah?
That was really
breast
fun.
Implant or?
Yeah.
Wow, man. That's bougie?
Yes. No, I had a tooth implant put in.
Oh,
okay.
Well, I mean,
they're great, aren't they?
Well, it's interesting because it takes, I thought they just do it right away, but they I just had the first phase of it
done. A couple of steps.
Yeah. So there's like a It's like a metal pole in the
There's
back.
There's a post in there, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you got to let everything heal before you can put the
tooth on after that.
And they build up the bone, too. They'll provide like it's a adhesive or a thing that grafts to your own bone.
Well, it's human bone they put in you.
They rip it out of someone else's mouth.
Cadaver. Yeah, Aunt Julia is, I'm possessed by the spirit of Aunt Julia, and I want to keep cooking.
Really? Yeah. So you're tripping right now?
No, I'm tripping on Aunt Julia because she's now a part of me.
Okay. I have no idea what you're talking
about.
Saying
because he got Aunt Julia's tooth.
Aunt Julia's tooth
they take
material.
Bone matter and fill it in to your areas.
Oh, someone donated it?
No. They use an artificial substance that grafts to your bone and grows.
No, I think
her
it's
teeth.
Real human stuff.
No, it's not.
No, it is. Yeah, they use cadaver stuff. Yeah.
I think it is.
You actually have a human. He has another human being in his body.
Oh, really?
I feel so confused.
I do not believe it. It's some sort of chemical thing. But however, though, you will have godlike powers now.
Thank you.
So it should be a good radio program today.
It should be.
Yeah.
Tighter than usual.
Yeah. You know, we were using your studio a little while ago.
You were?
Yeah, actually, we had a little malfunction here.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. I wanted to say about David Blaine. You could tell he was slow moving, but what was fascinating is listening to you guys, because you guys are so good, you brought him around. Mm-hmm. By the end of the conversation, he not only was like totally into you guys, he wants to come to the studio.
There was also a delay. He's normally sort of, you know, monotone, and that's his way.
Right.
But there was also a delay. But he was good. He was really good.
He was great. Yeah. Cool.
Nice.
I want to go to that show now. And I don't even, never been to a magic show.
It's pretty fascinating. We should do the letter of the day if you're ready.
Bah.
Bah.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Bah.
The Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
G is in greatness.
All righty. Will you stand before it as we speak?
I have a post in my mouth.
We have a 4-pack of the best seats in the house for opening night of the legendary Big Apple Circus coming to the Philadelphia Mills Mall, and that's May 23rd through June 24th. Plus a meet and greet backstage tour, a merch pack, food vouchers, celebrate 40 years under the big top with the greatest acts ever assembled. And tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. What's on the show today, Posty?
Posty. Well, we're going to have, among other things, Dead and Company tickets again to give away for their coming show to Camden in June. We'll also have a visit from the record company. They're going to come in, and they'll be part of the MMRBQ on Saturday, but they're touring in the area. They just wanted to pop in and say hi, so they're going to do that. We'll have Alex and Chris and also Mark from the record company come in. We will have workforce blocks that will be past and present MMRBQ bands, The Offspring and Ghost, and also Alice in Chains. And we'll replay some of our colorful conversation with Alice in Chains, including the legendary station ID they did for us, plus the vinyl cut. So it should be a fun day.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. And speaking of thank yous, I'll take this moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Duncan. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer, and French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors, FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Going to be another great day tomorrow with a lot going on. Nick Swardson
is
going to be in our studio.
Very funny.
Carlos Mencia will be in our studio. And comedian Gary Owen will be in the studio tomorrow,
Holy
too.
Holy crap.
Yeah, we got a three-peat tomorrow. It's going to be very, very busy. But it'll be all good, and we'll give away everything we got to give away as well. Get you set for the MMRBQ. Don't forget Lenape High School in Medford, New Jersey. Coolest teacher of the year. Your turn to vote. Text the word teacher, followed by the teacher's name to 39333, and we'll find out who wins tomorrow. That's it. We are done. Rage on, and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I don't know where everyone's hearing Yanny. I grew up in Mount Laurel, not Mount Yanny.
Next message.
Shout out to Team Badass and the Chester County Half Marathon and Memorial 5K. Be out there.
Next message.
Some people hear Yanni. Some people hear Laurel. I hear Journal, and I got to take a
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.